If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two. I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing. What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion. Bow in the presence of greatness.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Dude, don't do that, dude. Ow, dude, stop that. Dude, ow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Dude, I'm not fooling around. Dude, stop that, dude. Ow, dude, don't do that.
Everything is falling apart. And, like, birds are dying. And it's, like, hard, you know, to, like, wake up every day and know that, like, there are bad things happening. And this bird is just, like, a symbol of that.
Whatever.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ring, do you get?
Roll another one.
Marijuana is delicious.
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't.
Stuff is best, man. I got it from a Negro.
Just pass it around.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
And now,
would you be interested in taking part in a study like this again and having the same type of drug?
Sure.
You would. It's been a very pleasant experience for you.
I'll do it anytime you want.
Do you think it would be
anytime at all?
Our feature presentation.
But we need your twins' brains. And animal brains. Any animals you have around the house that'll do. Snakes and hamsters and even Chuck Rice. Chuck Rice have brain matter. We need all the brain matter we can get because we have to get on a train and deliver it to Thunderclap. Do you can, Thunderclap?
Okay, what's going on there?
Well, I don't know, but I just thought I'd play a little more of Jed's YouTube appearance because... What's going on there?
What's he talking about?
He's kind of panicked almost.
Don't know. If you asked him, he wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's Jed the Fish right there.
Living in his own private Idaho. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Jed, are you having trouble keeping reality straight? Or
I've been having a lot of trouble dealing with things lately because I'm too angered and too busy yelling at Johnny, my stupid board op.
Now, that is true. I hear that is true.
Oh, really?
He's bad. Yeah, that guy's bad.
<That's> too bad.
Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34, and it is Friday, the 5th of Rocktober.
You know how I hate the handicapped, right?
Sure.
I don't care for them. They're not like us. I don't like them around. I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to accommodate them. They need to pick a state and just move all the defective people there. Who's with me?
No one's with you. Not a soul is with you.
Well, they should have thought about that before they were born differently. So, but here's one of the reasons why I hate the handicapped. And this time it happens to be the blind people. All right. Now, I drive a Prius. All right.
Sure.
Right. And it's a good car. I like it. It gets the job done. But one of the things that they tell you when you buy the Toyota Prius is it's a very quiet car. Not only do you, the driver, sometimes not realize that the car is running. I mean, if you pull up to an intersection, there's no difference sitting in that car than there is sitting in that car when it's off. Okay,
right.
You can't even tell the engine is running. That's how quiet it is. And they say, look, you need to be aware of this, not only for you, the driver, but because pedestrians, people on the street who generally are – you know, keeping their ears peeled for cars so that they're not walking the dog or something like that. They need to step over off the road so that they don't get hit by a car. Kids on bicycles, same deal, right? So you can imagine how much fun I have with that, right? Because I just, just get right up on them, right?
Sure.
So now blind folks are appealing to automakers to try to get them to make hybrid vehicles louder so that they can hear them because they can't see them.
I did hear about that.
F you. F you try to make my car loud because you can't see. Hey, we all got problems, all right?
Wow.
Who's with me?
This is the sensitive side of Bean. No one is with you.
No, I might actually agree with Bean for once.
Well, of course, psycho Mike.
How are they going to make cars louder for like a one percentile segment of society?
Yeah, I don't know, but...
Shouldn't those people have dogs?
They should have something.
I mean, they shouldn't be stepping into the street, period, without something helping
them. It's bad enough that every crosswalk in this country now has meep, 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 when the lights change, isn't it?
No, that's a good thing, Bean.
That's annoying, too.
No,
stop
that's...
that. Stop with that. Let the blind people guess.
And you don't want the beeps on the elevators either that let you know what's going on, right?
Too much noise right here.
Too much noise in this world. The National Federation of the Blind is asking regulators to establish a minimum amount of loudness in the state of Maryland's emissions standards so that blind pedestrians will know that Priuses are coming and get out of the way.
I will say when I heard the report that it occurred to me that when I walk my dogs in my neighborhood, there are a lot of places with no sidewalks. You have to be in the street.
Right.
That I really do rely on sound
a lot,
you know, while I'm out in the street walking the dogs to look around
move
and make
to
sure
to
that
handicapped
it's okay.
State then. That's as far as I'm concerned. Move you to the same place.
Okay, Bean. I'll move.
All right.
Okay.
Poor guy's.
Anyway,
poor guy's blind. He's got way bigger problems than Bean, but Bean doesn't want a quiet car.
No.
I'm just saying, I don't want a noisy car. I'm just saying, stop it, Blindy. That's what I'm saying. That's the message from today's show: is stop it, Blindy.
You have other cars, right?
He has other issues as well as other cars. Yes.
And they,
I have
they
a Mini
make
Cooper,
a
but
bit of noise.
I have a Mini Cooper, but it's so much harder to run over a blind guy in a Mini Cooper.
Because he hears you coming.
Yeah.
What
fun is
just
that?
Just taking the sport out of it for you.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
I saw on Weeds that those cars are good for drive-bys because they can't hear you coming.
Because you sneak right up on them.
See, there's another advantage to keeping the car quiet. But you guys agree with Mike that it's kind of crazy to intentionally make noise pollution just because of the tiny fraction of people that are blind, right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I do, actually. I mean, really, why is a blind person crossing the street?
To get to the other side, Lisa.
Right, but I mean, if there's not a light.
I thought that was a joke.
I don't know. Maybe blind people are out walking their dogs. I don't know.
Well, yeah, aren't they seeing eye dogs?
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't think it's too much to ask to try and accommodate somebody who is blind, as long as it doesn't go too far.
How about people in cars be careful not to hit people? How about that? How about that, Bean?
Well, then you're taking the sport out of it for them again. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, I feel better having gotten that off my chest.
I'm glad. That is.
There is an awful lot of noise pollution. Sometimes when I go out to walk the dogs for a nice, quiet walk, it seems like every single person has somebody out there with a leaf blower, and then planes go overhead, and then there's an accident, and helicopters fly over to check that out. It's insanely loud. I go home for quiet.
I think a lot of people who live in cities don't know what quiet sounds like anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Hang on a second before we move on. Kelly in Burbank, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, you know what? I just I wanted to make sure I'm hearing this correctly because my roommate is he's listening to your show through his headset. We both listen to K Rock,
right?
But I don't have the radio on right now. Anyway, we're both blind, and he said that apparently you guys think it's no big deal if hybrid cars don't make sounds. I mean, that is a huge big deal to those of us who actually, you know, travel independently and cross streets, and especially if we're working with a guide dog.
Okay, Kelly, first of all, blind people can't listen to the radio. Everybody knows that, okay, first of all. And second of all, yeah, that's exactly the story we were talking about, is that Toyota is being petitioned by the National Federation of the Blind to make their cars louder for blind people.
Well, they should.
No.
Hey, Kelly,
yes, they should.
I'm really glad you called, because explain to me, if you have a dog, aren't they looking?
Well, wait a minute. Okay, I have had a guide dog. I just retired my last dog. She had some illness. She was stressed out with work. But anyway, yeah, they're
you
looking.
You worked her too hard.
Isn't work getting you
looking,
around?
They're looking, but it's your responsibility as a blind person traveling to know when to cross the street. Dogs can't see colors. You listen to the traffic sounds in front of you, and when you hear the traffic going in front of you, across you, you don't cross. You wait for the traffic that's going beside you parallel.
Oh, I see.
Okay? If some hybrid car decides it's going to make a right turn in front of you, but you can't hear it because it's quiet, and you cross the street because you just got the surge and then that car thought it was going to cut in front of you, guess what happens? You're toast.
Yeah.
Fine.
So
right.
I don't have, you know, I understand the environment's wonderful, but hey, so am I.
Stupid Al Gore.
Well, listen, Kelly, I'm glad you called, but just stay home. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Just stay home.
Oh my God.
All right?
Kelly,
it's Bean. You know that, right?
Yes, Kelly.
My friend and I absolutely adore K-Rock, and now
you
just told us to stay home.
It's Asperger guy.
It's guy who can't be nice guy up there. It's not worth arguing with.
I tell you what, Kelly.
What he means is he understands that your life can be much more difficult than most people's lives, and best of luck.
I'm not taking the pity angle. I do not, you know, I've been blind all my life. I love being blind. I'm proud of my blind people. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with asking for cars to have some noise so that we can actually cross the street.
Now, I tell you what, hang on for one second. We're going to send you a T-shirt that we're going to tell you has Kevin and me and K-Rock on it, okay?
In Braille, right? No, just kidding.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, we took care of that.
All right.
That was enlightening.
It was enlightening. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday morning. That means we've got the movie beat. Tell you about all the new movies in the theaters.
I love this time of year. There's so many good movies out finally.
Yep. At least they're not demolishing us with all new TV shows and all good movies at the same time.
True. I'm already behind.
Nothing but time. Luke Robitaille, formerly of the Los Angeles Kings. Now he works in the front office. We're going to talk about the new hockey season coming up.
Maybe he'll sign one of us while he's here today.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Sure, that'd happen.
I mean, I don't know if he has that power, but let's ask.
We're going to talk to Rex Hudler.
The Wonder Dog.
The Wonder Dog. About the Angels playoffs. We are going to talk to the executive producer of Meerkat Manor.
Yep.
Now, that show, for those of you that haven't seen it, is a bizarre show, and it sounds ridiculous, but it's fascinating to watch.
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's really something. So we're going to talk to them just after 6 o'clock. Apparently, there's a big controversy now because the cameraman didn't step in and keep nature from taking its toll or whatever.
They're not supposed to do that.
No, they're not, but... You know, people.
Hey, they let that guy fall in the fire on Survivor, remember?
That's true.
What do you want us to do for a rodent? I mean, come on.
Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Sunday Ticket, the Red Channel, Red Zone Channel, is maybe the best channel ever. It's possible.
It's pretty cool.
Possible it's the best channel ever. And we got Perry Farrell in the studio today.
Dude.
Great.
Performing live. So all that's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry, I'm still eating. On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 549.
It's Friday. Ralph is here. This busy day for Ralph. He's got the movie beat later on today. And, of course, the Showbiz Beat every hour, including the first one right now. What's going on, Mr. Gorman?
Well, looks like Britney Spears may be going to rehab after all.
Oh, really?
OK Magazine reports that Britney will be going to Eric Clapton's Crossroads Rehab Center in Antigua. This very weekend.
Isn't that the one she flew to? Is that her?
She's been in and out of like 3 or 4, so I've lost track.
But somebody went all the way down to that one and then checked out after a day.
It may have been her.
I think it was her.
Think about it, yeah. Anyway, maybe she'll going back to give it another try.
Wow.
Of course, it's got to be Antigua. She just can't go to, you know, freaking...
The Valley.
Yeah, right. Can't go to Glendale Presbyterian or whatever. Just This is her last-ditch effort to get her kids back from her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, according to people who know her, which means she doesn't really mean it. She's just trying to put on a last-ditch good face for the next court proceedings.
Right. Look, Court, I'm good.
Hey, Courty. As you probably know by now, Brittany missed the custody hearing Wednesday, but now apparently has changed her mind. Yeah. She's going to give it the old college try. She's going to, never been to college, of course, but she's going to try to clean her act up for Commissioner Gordon.
Little too late, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't really want your kids taken away and then go, yeah, you know what?
You think about that
she
beforehand.
Clearly never thought it was going to happen.
Look, they told you the train was coming down the tracks. You saw the light. Whose bad is it if you don't take the steps you need to take in order to keep your kids?
Sure.
Another ugly child custody hearing going on between Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards. They're going another round. Apparently, both of their lawyers have filed a number of complaints with the L.A. Superior Court. Denise alleges that Charlie wrote her a number of ugly emails recently, calling his ex-wife a sad, jobless, talentless pig.
Yeah. Oh, man.
While telling her if she's upset, she should go to cry to her bald mother, who happened to be undergoing chemotherapy at the time.
Oh, nice. Ouch. Oh, ouch. Yeah.
Well, Charlie's dad was the president of the United States, so he probably figures he can brag.
It's just a TV show, Bean.
Denise, meanwhile, is saying, and not for the first time, that Charlie used to go to gay porn sites.
All right.
And acted erratically after their split. While he maintains he's not going to dignify these allegations with a response.
Yeah, he's been above reproach so far, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He would have crawled around in the mud with her, right?
Sad, jobless, talentless pig.
Hey,
this guy from 30 Rock, Baldwin. Yeah, him and Baldwin should hang out. Those guys.
No kidding.
Similar vocabulary.
I wonder if Charlie Sheen is one of these guys we talk about from time to time who has done every woman in North America and now can no longer get turned on by hot chicks, so now has to just get weirder and weirder and ends up looking at gay porn because that's all that's left to excite him.
Looking at two girls, one cup.
Oh,
don't even say that.
What's wrong with you?
Don't even say that.
You're God.
Don't do that to our listeners, Ralph. Come on.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Meanwhile, big problems on the set of Sex and the City, the movie.
What?
Yeah, Lisa.
What's going wrong?
Apparently, production got held up on Tuesday. You know Evan Handler, the actor who plays Charlotte's husband, Harry?
Yes.
Nope.
Bald dude.
Yep.
He's a talented character actor.
He's in Californication.
He's in Californication, right.
He's done a lot of work.
His agent guy, yeah.
He was on, come on.
Uh-oh.
That other show.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, right.
The beginning of season two.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they had to shut down production because he got a terrible case of the hiccups.
Oh, no.
Could not stop hiccuping. They
really?
Couldn't shoot the scene because he was constantly hiccuping.
Oh, how funny.
How funny is that?
Wow.
All the
reasons.
Right?
Yeah, you figure everybody has one of those bouts where you just can't stop. It has to happen sooner or later in movie and TV production.
Sir?
But usually hundreds of people are not standing around waiting for you to be able to get over it.
Yeah, that pressure can't help either.
Exactly.
He says he's got a real problem with it. Sometimes he can find himself hiccuping for 2 or 3 days at a time.
Wow. What a nightmare.
That would suck.
Wow.
Unless you're loaded.
Maybe they'll cancel the movie. Maybe some good will come out of this.
Oh,
stop
it.
If we can't film this scene, let's go ahead and just stop at the movie.
Stop.
Wow.
Caesar Malone?
Yes.
This is learning some new tools.
You know, they're asking all these celebrities what they think of the Britney Spears situation.
Of course.
Don't you love when they interview other celebrities?
That drives me out of my mind.
People who don't even know her.
Ryan Gosling, how do you feel about Britney Spears?
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Wish her the best. Well, Tatum O'Neal has stepped forward and said that she would like to mentor Britney.
She's had her share of problems.
Because she's gone through the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
She was in danger of losing her kids because of her addiction, and the court gave her a list of orders she had to comply with, and she did because she said she wanted to get her kids back so badly. So she'd like to have a conversation with Ms. Spears.
And the conversation would go something like this: if a judge tells you to do something or you're going to get your kids taken away, do it,
ass.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kathy Griffin suggests that Britney starts with baby steps, like washing her hair. So, different ends of the spectrum in celebrity advice. Have you seen Mila Jovovich lately? Star of Resident Evil movies?
I have not.
No.
No?
Well, she's pregnant, 9 months pregnant. and she has gained 70 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, wow. 70? Most How many is she having?
Most doctors recommend women gain 25 to 35 pounds. She's gained 70 pounds.
And she started at 70, so she's doubled.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, this is the girl who said, I need to quit working for a while because I've been working out for
You said, I'm tired of training. I'm tired of working out. Yeah.
She's just going to town.
That's what she's doing. She's, yep. she's taking advantage of this pregnancy. She says she eats 3 bagels with cream cheese for breakfast. And then has several Krispy Kreme donuts for lunch.
Nice.
That's the Psycho Mike diet, isn't it? I think that's what you put lightning on.
Yeah. Yeah. Some women do like to take advantage of being able to eat more. That's for sure.
Well, she's been in such great shape forever. She can probably get away with it and burn it off.
And she's the type who's going to lose all of that weight in 2 months, too.
Exactly. She's been open about She hates dieting and exercise, though.
Yep,
and she absolutely despises it. So.
Oh, it's a good choice to do action movies.
Yeah. Yep, she's got to do it. That's her gig.
Yeah.
Speaking of gigs, Michelle Ryan from The Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Thank you. Love her so much. She says that she can kick actual ass now. She's The Bionic Woman.
Is that right?
She's been training in that Krav Maga. You know that? The Israeli self-defense technique?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shall know.
She says she worked with her trainer 3 hours a day.
Wow.
Besides shooting on the set of The Bionic Woman in order to be in shape for the fight scenes and stuff.
Wow.
So that's got to be pretty empowering for a chick when you kick anybody's ass.
She's the new Jennifer Garner, isn't she?
Man, she's so hot. It's my penis.
How was episode 2, Ralph? I haven't watched that one yet.
I TiVo'd it. I haven't got around to it. My TiVo is just nuts.
It's like, what are you doing to me?
Me too.
I can't take the pressure.
Did you have to take off all those Law and Orders?
Yeah, I did take off a bunch of Law and Orders. It took off a lot of crap. But, yeah, I finally got around to seeing the second Reaper last night. That was what I watched. It was good.
Yep.
Going Ray Wise, so good
Tough
on that
to keep
show.
Up.
And Desperate Housewives has, insulted an entire country.
Nice. Oh, good. This one, in what my opinion.
Oh, wow, you're a bitter, bitter man today,
He's
aren't
angry,
you?
Isn't he?
You hate the handicapped, you hate Desperate Housewives, Sex in the City. Just full of hate. Apparently last Sunday, Terry Hatcher's character said, okay, before we go any further, can I, when she was in a doctor's office, she said, before we go any further, can I check those diplomas? Because I just want to make sure they're not from some medical school in the Philippines.
Oh,
see, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Well, guess who's all cheesed off?
The Philippines?
Yes, a Filipino official told the Philippine Daily Inquirer that the comment can be viewed as a racial slur. And the Philippines is firing off a letter to ABC saying that their country's medical practices are recognized throughout the United States as very professional. And they're demanding an apology.
No, they're not.
They are demanding an apology,
Don't
sir.
Don't they have anything else to do with their time?
They demand. Demand, I say.
Word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
Good point.
Nope. That's right.
I'm sure what that means.
I'm not sure it was the Filipinos.
Not so much. Yeah, really.
Like there's a difference.
General MacArthur may have something to say about the Filipinos.
Don't trust the yellow man!
And lastly, if you're a fan of Bruce Springsteen, the boss, one of the great rock stars of all time, his new CD is out now, and he's going to be on 60 Minutes this weekend.
No?
You'd like to hear him talk about his career, his music, his
I'd love to hear him tell his stories. He's good at that.
Time I was walking down the street. Morley Safer just falls out of his chair asleep.
They really shouldn't assign an older anchor to interview Bruce because he may not make it to the end.
You got
to
keep jabbing him with a stick, too, to keep the story going.
He likes to talk, Bruce.
He does.
He's a talker.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Conaway. Kinnicky in Grease and the star of Taxi. Remember him on Celebrity Fat Club?
Yes.
He was doing all kinds of drugs. He was passing out during the challenges and stuff. It was one of the great.
I was molested at 4.
One of the biggest grossing comedies ever.
It was so sad.
It was great. It was one of the great reality show meltdowns ever. Try to find it on YouTube if you can. He's 57 years old today. Bob Geldof, Saint Bob, is 53. Bernie Mac turns 50 today. Daniel Baldwin. I think he's the fat Baldwin.
He's druggy.
I think so.
Druggy McDrugster, the one that was in that Mel Gibson movie, Paparazzi. That's the only thing I really remember him being in.
He was in Homicide: Life in the Streets. He's done a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I think he might be Druggy McDrugster. He is 47 years old today. Paul Thomas, bassist for Good Charlotte's 27. Nikki Hilton, Paris's sister, is 24. And this is an interesting story. Karen Allen's birthday is today. She's 56 years old today. You may not know the name, but she at one time was a big star.
Yep.
She was in the movie called Starman with Jeff Bridges. She was in Animal House. She was in the original Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then her career sort of fell off the radar. But she's back starring in the next Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford.
Really?
That's quite cool. a career comeback at 56 years old. She's going to be one of the biggest movies of next year. She's 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up with Radiohead giving away their new album digitally on their website starting Tuesday? We'll talk to an LA Times reporter in a couple of minutes about that. Plus, Rex Huttler, the Wonder Dog, about the Angels and their attempt to come back in Boston in the first round of the playoffs against the Red Sox. First, though, I made a big, big mistake last night, Kevin.
Why?
My wife Donna says to me, so who's on the little dog and pony show tomorrow? And I say, well, we got Luke Robitaille talking about the Kings. We got Perry Farrell coming in. Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL Network. I say, we're talking to the dude from the Meerkat Manor. You know, you heard about Flower, right? And she's like, what?
Oh, no, you didn't break her the Flower news.
Unfortunately, I'm the bad man who broke her the Flower news, and she cried.
Well, it's very upsetting.
She cried.
I actually stopped watching that show because it upset me too much.
Well, it's a big episode tonight at 8:30 on the Animal Planet. Of course, Meerkat Manor is the number one show on that channel, and we're happy to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show the senior executive producer, Mick Kazarowski, on the line with us right now. Good morning, Mick. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
So, big doings with Flower, huh? That's a rough one for Meerkat fans to take.
How could you kill Flower?
Well, we didn't kill Flower. Unfortunately, Flower died like she lived. She was heroic. She was, in fact, protecting some of her pups from a cobra, and she succumbed to a bite.
Let's explain to people who haven't seen Meerkat Manor what it is exactly.
Well, Meerkat Manor follows the Whiskers, which is the dominant group in the Kalahari. They're a family of from the Mongoose family, and they are number around 40 members, and they're led by a dominant female. And we follow them on a day-to-day basis, and we follow their trials and tribulations in the Kalahari. And they have nasty neighbors, they have infighting, they have daughters that don't listen to the mother. And so there's lots of, it's very much like an animal soap opera in some respects.
It is. And the first time I heard about this show, I thought, okay, dumb. But then I started watching it, and the amount of information that you guys have and how you explain the whole society and the hierarchy and the rules and the leaders, and it's just like you're watching a human soap opera.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
It's really fascinating.
It's the Sopranos. I mean, let's face it, when Flower got whacked, that's the only thing I could think is, dude, who does she owe money to?
Well, the thing is, you know, these are the most studied mammals on the planet. They've been studied for over 13 years. So, we kind of know how complex their life is and how kind of it mirrors our own life. So it makes it, even though it's sort of real life, there is so much activity going on in the Kalahari, and you wouldn't believe that you can relate to these little animals that are only 12 inches tall.
Now, with so many meerkats running around on the screen, whose job is it to keep them all straight and so that we know who all of them are and what all of their names are?
Well, the researchers are the ones that actually sort of know the meerkats intimately because they spend all day with them and they watch them. But one of the things that the researchers use to help them, because meerkats look a lot alike, is there's little markings that they put on them with hair dye. And so they can tell which meerkat is which.
Okay,
just
that
when you
makes
have
sense.
40 members that all kind of look alike and are all the same size, it's very difficult out there in the Kalahari.
You should try dog tags. That might work.
Now, Lisa, a few moments ago, said that she had to stop watching your show, Mick, because it was too rough for her when Shakespeare got injured and had to crawl all the way back, and it was too painful to watch. Do you get that kind of reaction? Do you hear from people who just find it too difficult because nature is too cruel?
Well, if you go to the website and animalplanet.com, you sort of see how emotionally attached people are to the meerkats. But I think in some respects you actually get to appreciate them even more because we show them on a daily basis. We show how difficult life is. And unfortunately, they aren't pets. They're wild animals. And so we just sort of observe what goes on in their daily life. So I think it is sometimes difficult, but you'll see, when you watch tonight's episode, that life continues. A new leader needs to be chosen to lead the Whiskers, and life continues.
Do they have a vote? How do they do that?
Well, really, it's the strongest meerkat. There's sometimes a little battle that goes on amongst the remaining daughters, and literally the strongest person, the strongest meerkat, takes over. But that doesn't mean that that meerkat is going to survive, too, and she might be overthrown by yet another meerkat who wants to take over. So I think that's what makes the show so interesting, the complexity of the lifestyle of the meerkat.
I've already said that I found it fascinating, but you even have to admit, Mick, that maybe you're pouring it on a little thick when you were talking about Flower going down.
For 4 years, Flower was the Whiskers' faithful dominant. From humble beginnings, she created one of the largest close-knit families on the manor. Flower was a formidable leader and a noble mother. The desert has lost its favorite rose.
Okay, all right.
Teary-eyed.
It's not Princess Diana, though, I think is what Kevin is saying here.
But Flower is an incredible, I mean, you know, after 36 episodes, she's sort of, everybody's come to know and love her, and, you know, sometimes you didn't like Flower, too, because, you know, you saw how tough she was as a leader. But I think, you know, she found a place in a lot of people's hearts, so I think it's fitting.
She was a hell of a rodent. You got to agree with that. Hey, Mick, we're almost out of time here. Of course, the show airs at 8:30 Animal Planet tonight. You'll see this very special episode that everyone has been anticipating and talking about. And has there been some heat from people who feel like even though you're there to document the wild, that there should at sometimes be some human interference to try to save these meerkats when they get into trouble?
Well, it's a hard thing. I mean, you know, we take the lead of the researchers, and they're there to understand these animals. And although, you know, we sort of project all these things we have with our own pet, you know, they're not allowed to intercede, and we're not allowed to intercede because it's nature.
Right.
So, I mean, I think in some respects, yes, it's frustrating, and yes, you care about them, and the cameramen have this incredible job just to watch and not, you know, do anything. But that's the way it is in the wild, and that's our responsibility as wildlife filmmakers to show you what happens out there and the good, the bad, and sometimes the sad.
I was fortunate enough to take a trip of a lifetime. I went to Africa over this past Christmas, and it's shocking how – and it sounds stupid, but it's shocking how wild the wild is. I mean, there's just – you go out there and you just go – man, the weaker really do just get eaten alive, and it's brutal. And humans have tried to, you know, become so much higher, operate on a higher level than that. And I think most people are shocked to see how just brutal it is out in the wild. I mean, it's just something. It's just really, if you are weak, you die, and there's no one around protecting you. That's just the way it goes.
Well, you know, I think one of the things you see with Meerkat Manor and the Whiskers is they actually, when you're even small and you're 12 inches, the whole society survives because you work together as a group. So, you know, when they go out foraging, they have other meerkats that are lookouts for prey. They have a complex a calling system where they say, wait, there's an eagle above, there's a snake on the ground, there's a jackal. So they communicate to one another, and that's the only way they can survive as living in a strong group.
Mick Kazarowski is the senior executive producer of Meerkat Manor. New episode tonight at 8:30 on Animal Planet. Make sure your kids see this one. I think they'll especially enjoy this episode a lot. Mick, thanks for coming on the show today. We enjoyed it.
Great, thanks.
That's too much Kevin Beach Show. Plus, it's Friday. That means we've got the movie beat. Doesn't look good necessarily in a best-of-five series for Ralph's Phillies right now. Doesn't look good for our friend Money's Cubs. However, if you're an Angels fan, you're only down by one game in Game 2 of the Divisional Series in Boston against the Red Sox at 5:30 this afternoon. You can see it on TBS. And let me tell you about the man who I want to go to when we're talking Angels baseball, and that's the wonder dog himself, Rex Hudler, back on the Kevin Beach Show here on Kiro. Hey, Rex, how are you, man?
Oh, what a question. I'm all fired up this morning. Morning up here at Fenway Park. With the
I know you are.
Yeah, with the Angels back to the wall already in this short five-game series. We got Escobar going, and I like our chances tonight.
Rex Hudler, one of the reasons we like talking to you is because you're always so energetic and positive and excited.
No matter what.
He's the best. It's amazing.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Good to be on with you. Hey, look, let me just tell you, when you've lived in you've lived your dream your whole life from 17 to 38, I got to play the grand game for seven different teams in three countries. It's been a huge blessing, man. I'll tell you, I met a great woman. She's my wife and got four kids now, and I've been broadcasting Angels games. So now not only I got to play it, but now I get to sell it and talk about it. It's a beautiful thing. Why should I be unhappy and why should I be sad?
Hey, if Rex is this excited about baseball, imagine what a wild man he is at making babies. Can you just imagine?
I would rather not, if that's all right.
Now, Rex, let's talk about Fenway Park, because you of all people know what it's like to play there. For God's sakes, you were on the Yankees, so you know what it's like to go into Boston. The Angels have a terrible track record in the postseason in Fenway Park. I don't know that they've won a game in years there. I mean, what goes on when you're playing against those Fenway Park fans?
Well, you know, there's a mystique at Fenway and also at the Yankee Stadium, very similar are those two parks. Seems like, if the Angels have the lead there late, a 2-0 count to a Red Sox gets the crowd going. I mean, it gets big. If you can keep the crowd out of the game, you're better off. Now, the Angels, you need to score early there and try to keep the lead and keep the crowd out of the game. Pitching is going to be a premium. Lackey, you know what? He struggled there before, and I'm kind of wondering why Socha went ahead and pitched him when he could have started Escobar, maybe Weaver. It's easy to second guess now after the first game, but Lackey's their horse. They stayed with him, but you could see he didn't pitch. He couldn't stay out of the middle of the plate. Escobar with his 96-mile-an-hour fastball, his split finger and changeup combination are excellent pitches, and he's had a lot of success against Boston. So I would expect a different outcome as far as the pitching goes. But Sean Figgins, he's got to get figgy with it, get on base. Big Daddy Gladdy feels good. Garrett Anderson, once he can open his eye, I think he'll be a little bit better. That off day yesterday helped him out a lot. But they got to get guys on, get them over, get into their running game, and blow these guys out, go home, and they got a chance. If they don't, it's over.
Why, you think so? You can't come back from two down with Boston, is what you're saying.
You can. It's hard. It's going to be hard to sweep three games from them.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got to come back to Boston in game five.
Now, you brought up the pitching, and this is significant because the Angels have not faced Daisuke, right? They have not seen him live in person before, right?
Right. They have not. But that's nothing new to the Angels. This year, they faced 46 pitchers that they'd never seen before, including interleague play. And so usually the advantage goes to the pitcher. It depends on who you ask. Now, Garrett Anderson, he tells me, Hud, he's never seen me before. That's more of an ego side of a hitter, He has pride. But still, I think that the advantage goes to the pitcher because, you haven't seen his pitches. You can watch his videos, in the clubhouse before the game. But until you stand in the box, you really don't know. So the key for that is how you remedy is you try to take as many pitches as you can in the first time through the order. Go ahead and milk the pitcher. Milk the pitcher. See what he's got. See what kind of pitches he has. He's walked 80 batters this year. That's a lot. If you can get some guys on, that's the Angels' game, and that's their way. That's going to be their key.
He also has a little bit of that halt in his delivery that I think is off-putting to people who have never seen him before. It takes a minute to get used to that, to see where the ball is coming from.
And that's going to bode well for Angel base runners. He doesn't hold runners very well. So it should be a track meet breakout if they can just get on base. They got to be very, very patient. Now, if Daisuke, if he's throwing strikes, then the Angels are going to have to hit their way, and they're totally capable of that. They've got to pull out their A game tonight here at Fenway Park and make that place stay quiet.
This is Rex Hudler on the line, of course, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim game analyst. We're talking about game two of the playoffs in the division series. That's going to be at 5:30 on TBS. Now, the Angels were not hot with the bats toward that last week of the season. Is this a carryover, what we saw in game one, a little bit of a carryover from that, or does it all start over? Do you reboot once the postseason starts, Rex?
New season. Not only just new game, but they had a couple days off in between. Some of them had 4 days off, so that was their All-Star break. It's a whole new different season. Josh Beckett would have beat any team in the world the way he pitched. The Yankees, Cleveland, none of those teams would have had a chance. When you get a guy, a horse like that, throwing some 97 and moving it and sinking it and working that two-seamer, man, he was filthy. So the Angels did well to get four hits off of him. Figgins would have had two more, but they made great defensive plays on him out there in the outfield. But I'm going to tell you, when you got a guy like that, there's no chance. So the Angels are going to have to regroup. This guy's got a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, but he's going to mix up a lot more pitches. The Angels are going to have to just go to slapping and dashing and being patient, drawing a few walks.
Let me ask you one more thing, Rex, because you've been in this situation. What's the pressure like when you realize literally you're an Angels player, you realize literally it could all be over? Everything you've been working so hard since February for could end by Sunday if you don't win. That's got to be a crushing amount of pressure as you head to the ballpark.
You got to let that go, okay? You just have to say, hey, look, I'm going to execute my game, and I'm going to stay right on top of it. I'm going to focus. I'm going to play 100%. I'm going to give it all I got, and if it doesn't work out, then that's fine. But I'm going to give everything I got. You encourage your guys around you. Say, fellas, let's go out and have fun. Let's enjoy it. Let's attack. Let's play our game. So you play a lot better when you're loose. So the mental part of the game really comes into postseason. You got to have a couple talks with yourself.
Where are we going to see or hear you today?
Now, I'm fortunate to be doing post-game coverage for FSN West. So me and Billy McDonald will be down. Billy gathers some interviews from some of the Angel players, and I'm on the field giving you a little take of what the way I saw it after the game. So it's okay. Fun. I get to sit up in the booth and keep score and kind of see what's going on. And I might do a little bit of radio with Angels broadcast. But it's a total joy to be along with the team. That way I can feel the ambiance and be around the action. It's a lot of fun.
So game two is tonight at 5:30 on TBS. Game three back at Anaheim. Noon, I guess it is, on Sunday.
12 o'clock. That'll be sweet, man. It'd be great to come home to some Angel faithful, I'll tell you that. Up here, there's red, but it's the enemy red.
It's a different kind of red. All right, Rex, good luck to Mike and the boys, and thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always love catching up with you, dude.
Oh, you guys are great for having me. Thanks.
Thank
go
you.
Halo.
Bye-bye, Rex.
You would ever know.
You are listening.
What the hell is he saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
No
either.
Idea.
Quarterback is eating chips and donuts. Watching the ball.
I don't think the quarterback is eating chips. I don't think that's part of it.
I can't figure it
Kings
out.
Kings legend Luke Robitaille in our studio next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
He doesn't talk anything like that.
Perry Farrell's satellite party in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, that's fine. We got a lot of Kevin DeBean Show straight ahead, including Ralph Garber with the Showbiz Beat right now.
I saw Luke last night at the kickoff party for the Kings season. Boy, was that a shindig.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm a little rough today. I'll be struggling through the show because I stayed a little bit too late.
I heard that you'd been up to something last night. I didn't know what it was. That was it, huh?
It was at the L.A. Kings party, and it was a big bash in Beverly Hills, a really nice restaurant. And it was at Cut, the new steakhouse that Wolfgang Puck has just opened. And so we're there, and I'll tell you what a odd and interesting and eclectic mix of celebrities were there at this party.
No, he was there.
I was hanging out with Cuba Gooding Jr., Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr.
Huh?
We were hanging out. He's a big hockey
fan. He's a Kings
fan,
yeah.
Next to him, I saw Tom Arnold holding court.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Then I brushed by Billy Bush and Mary Hart having a chat. You thought they'd be going at each other, you know, from opposing reality shows.
Sure, trying to take each other down.
Entertainment shows. David Boreanaz from Bones and from Angel, of course, he was there. You know who was there? It was Constance Zimmer. The actress who plays Dana Gordon on Entourage, the opposing agent that Ari's always fighting with.
Yes.
She was there. She's pregnant now, but she's still hot.
All right.
Rob Zombie there?
I did not see Rob. I didn't see Tom Likas, surprisingly. I thought for sure he'd be there.
Sure. The Shades? No.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, it was a real good party, and the whole team was there. And I'll tell you, this 19-year-old kid, this new kid,
Tegola,
see the deal?
He looks 13. He looks 12. I thought he was a busboy. Poor kid standing there looking around like, what the hell have I got myself into? Can't drink at the party, right? So he's just hanging out, leaning against the wall. He just looked like a fish out of water.
He's a new goalie, and Ralph's going, hey, could you freshen up my coffee here?
Hey, hey, what do you got to do to get some bread?
Well, we'll talk to Luke about that and more coming up next half hour. That's awesome that you went to that. That sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. Let's give away some tickets, shall we?
All right.
I've got four packs of tickets to give away to the special K-Rock screening of We Own the Night, new feature film starring Joaquin Phoenix, Mark Wahlberg, Robert Duvall, and Eva Mendes. It opens October 12th in theaters. You'll get to see it before that because we're K-Rock and we're special.
Mm. No.
No?
Just
we got a bunch of tickets to give away.
We are talking to Eva Mendes next week. Yeah.
Here's your chance. First five callers get to take three friends to the special K-Rock screening of this movie. First five callers at 1-800-520-1067. Please call now and tell Dave, King of Mexico, I want to see Wheel Knight.
Wheel Knight.
Wheel Knight.
That's what he says.
You want to give away tickets to Wheel Knight? Weeho Knights?
Oh, Weeho.
I don't know if I can go on.
Why?
With this news.
Why? What's
I just got some bad news over the teletype there.
About
in the newsroom.
About the Meerkat Manor?
F. Meerkat Manor. I almost said the word.
The desert has lost its flower, Rob.
The desert has lost its favorite rose.
Shut up. I tried to get him to lighten up on that, but he seemed to be very excited about
it. She was a steadfast mother. A world-class leader. She passed legislation in the meerkat world that had never been seen before.
Just she ended meerkat, living in the field.
Ended meerkat hunger and balanced the meerkat budget. She will be missed. There's a little horse-drawn carriage going down the center of Meerkat Manor with no rider on the horse. A little coffin. Get over it, people.
She died like she lived.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot a series about
with
rats.
Courage.
Called Rat Manor. The rat trat just takes a rat's head off. Oh, he was a good rat. He ate all the kibble out of the pet store that he lived in.
Bad news. Nice. The eldest Hansen brother's in trouble.
What?
The girl?
Yeah, the hot girl?
No, the girl's the little one. Oh, the drummer.
The oldest the one, then.
Yeah.
The other yes. One.
Isaac
Hansen, yes. Somehow Mike knew that. I have no idea.
Is that really his name?
Yes,
How
Isaac
did you
Hansen.
Know that? What is wrong with you?
Because he's an bopper from way back.
He says Isaac?
Oh, Isaac?
I thought he was just being funny.
Isaac Hansen, 26, underwent surgery Thursday to remove a blood clot in his lungs.
Wow.
After suffering chest and shoulder pain following a concert this week. I wish him the best.
You don't care.
The desert has lost its most beautiful Hansen. Apparently he's doing pretty well, but yeah, a little scary there. A little touch and go for the Hansen twins. Three?
I don't think they're twins.
Four? How many Hansons are there?
I don't know.
There
are three.
Mike, how many?
Three.
There are three. I'm going to say something is going to set me up for ridicule here.
Wow. What a surprise.
But I mean it sincerely.
Here's a tip for you that you haven't learned the past 20 years. When that comes to your head, say, wow, I'll probably get made fun of if I say this. Then opt out.
I got to be honest here, Ralph. Mbop was the worst thing that ever happened to that band because now people have this image of them as just being that. And in reality, they're a pretty good band. In reality, except for Mbop, they got a lot of really good songs.
You're a lying sack of shit.
Okay.
Seldom in my life have I met a dumber man.
Come to the defense of Hansen.
I'm just saying.
Why?
The end is near.
Nobody cares.
The end is near, John.
Seems like I'm swimming upstream here, but no! I'm telling you, they're a better band than people give them credit for because of that one song that was so awful.
Well, shut the hell up!
Now I feel bad. Didn't give Hansen enough credit.
No, I'm sorry I made fun
I'm ashamed.
Isaac's clot.
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Isaac's clot, by the way.
Hey, it goes to Christmas. They're very good.
Very good.
Now, they're good. We can all agree on that.
That's a band. It was funny this week when Brittany had the kids taken away from her. I said they should take everything away from her. Kevin said, what do you mean everything? Everything. Take her dogs, too. Take her puppies. I was kidding, of course.
It happened.
PETA is not.
They should take her dogs. If she can't take care of kids, I doubt she's taking care of her dogs.
Dogs can take care of themselves, Lisa.
Not if you don't lead them food and water.
What about Reggie?
Dogs can bite if you're doing something wrong. Kids are just useless sacks of goo in diapers. You know what I'm saying?
I hear the words coming out of your mouth.
Not useless, obviously, but helpless.
Okay,
I guess
what
so what's PETA? What's PETA up to? What do they want?
They have sent an open letter to Kevin Federline. Yes, that's his new name, Kevin. Dear Mr. Federline, we hope that you will do the right thing and best thing for all involved and pursue a custody order for the animals. They want him to file for custody of the dogs, too, to take the dogs away from Brittany.
Probably Brittany just drive over. What about her?
You guys all understand that we're reaching out, we're appealing now to KFED.
Yeah. Please do the right thing,
that's
Kevin Federline.
The point we've gotten to in our society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
Do the right thing for all involved. Pursue a custody order for the animals so that your sons can continue to have the company of the animals they've grown to adore. And by the way, these were the sons who threw one of her dogs out of the crib and broke its leg.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't know. He didn't know.
I'm just saying, maybe we should just keep everybody separate. Maybe find a new family to adopt the dogs if you want to get rid of the dogs.
But that's good idea.
It doesn't seem like this whole dynamic is very functional, really,
true,
on every level. But I do think it's funny they want him to file a custody order with the courts to get the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The PETA people do.
There's not you're right. There's so many better ideas than that.
Come on. Come on now.
Just find new homes altogether for the dogs.
Let's just wait till Brittany offs herself, and then everything will be all right. That's what I'm saying. Lethal OD. That's what I'm saying.
Lethal OD, by the way. Acoustic.
Lethal OD. They're good.
Oh.
Speaking of Britney, rumor has it that she's going to try to clean up again in rehab, going to Crossroads in Antigua. That's Eric Clapton's joint. OK Magazine reports that she'll be leaving this weekend in a last-ditch effort to try to get the kids back from her ex-husband.
Now, the last time this happened with her, it seemed to be against her will, and it angered her more than anything in her life.
Yes.
Is this her, do you think, or is it just her PR people again saying, got to try something?
Who knows? Who knows? She's got a court session on October the 26th, so I think she has to do something to try to show that she's trying to comply with the court's orders, since she's ignored them up to this point.
Yeah.
She has to undergo at least three individual counseling sessions before she shows up to the court on October 26th. So maybe this is her way to try to get a bunch of them out of the way by going into rehab and doing a bunch of counseling and some testing. So we shall see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kate Winslet, one of my favorite actresses, 32 years old today. Guy Pearce.
Oh, yeah.
You know him from Memento and from that movie where he was a magician? Wasn't he? Wasn't he a magician
no,
in one of them?
So.
Wasn't he one of the magic
ring a
movies?
Bell.
Nope.
The Illusionist.
Did he go around the world in 80 days?
Yeah, he did that. Time Machine, he did that. Wasn't he in the Magician or the Illusionist or the Prestige or wasn't he?
Email Ralph at krock.com. He loves to be
asked. One of them was Hugh Jackman and one of them was Edward Norton.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
Christian Bale thrown
Christian
in there.
Christian Bale,
yeah.
Everybody but
Guy
Pearce apparently was in those movies.
That's correct.
He didn't even see those movies.
Bernie Mac is 50 years old today. Bob Geldof, man responsible for Live Aid and Live 8. He is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, is it the happiest weekend of your whole year this
weekend? Yes. Yes. Well, see, here's the problem with people who don't like baseball. Unfortunately, I don't like baseball. I wish I did. Boy, it would make my life much better.
Sure would.
But when hockey ends and then basketball ends and then football ends, then you have baseball for two, 3 months. And even watching, like, SportsCenter, it's all baseball pretty much. So then at this time of the year, now basketball is just about to come back. Hockey starts again tomorrow night for the Kings. Luke Robitaille is in our studios. Good morning, Luke.
How about
you?
Hey, Luke.
Guys. How are you?
Very good.
Good to see you. Hey, I got to check this. You know the Wikipedia can be dicey sometimes. I want to find out if both of these things are true, Luke, before we get into all the excitement for this weekend.
Here we go.
Are you or are you not the all-time highest scoring left winger in National Hockey League history?
So far, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about that? Wow. Are you the holder of the Kings franchise records for goals?
So far, yeah.
Damn. What's it like for you now as a retired guy to be wearing a suit instead of wearing a uniform?
Definitely wearing a suit, too. I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, you're really in a suit.
That's a suit.
You know, it's I'm having fun, you know, because I was playing the game that I loved. I was doing it as a kid, and now I'm still involved on the other side, but it's still something that I love. I mean, at the end of the day, you want to get out of bed and do something you like to do, and that's still what I'm doing, so it's a lot of fun.
At the beginning of the season, like right now, though, are you starting to get the itch of, wow, I mean, not the I sure wish I could work out all day, every day, and be hurt every day, but but the I want to get in and compete kind of bug?
You know, I watched the games in London, and I watched a few preseason, and I get to sit pretty close, and I got to be honest,
that's
I
enough.
See those guys hitting and everything. I'm like, God, I don't even know how I did it all those years.
Wow, that really hurt.
I'm like, well, it looks like it hurts so bad. I don't see myself. And the other thing is, when I get out of bed and nothing hurts, like this morning, I just jumped out of bed and it was like, my back's not sore. I can move around. There's no better feeling than that. I don't even
know. Yeah, that's true.
So, what is your job? It is the director of operations? What's your actual title, Luke?
It's president of business operation.
That sounds fake. That sounds fake. I got to be honest. Doesn't that sound fake?
If the title's big enough, like really, nobody really know what you're doing.
A lot of big words,
and then you can do a lot of stuff. You can get away with a lot.
What do you spend most of your time doing?
We spend most of our. You know, the biggest thing about AEG, so it got so big so fast that you know, and AEG was built you know upon buying the Kings and so forth. So along the way, everybody's been building the arena in London, the arena in Kansas City, AEG Live, and you know Nokia Center and all that. And the Kings kind of were left on the side where everybody, when it was time, they were paying attention. So what I'm trying to do is bring back the Kings and become its own franchise. Just like any other franchise in sports, it should be run that way. I mean, it's a big business. And it's a business about people, so you need to really pay attention to every detail. So what we're trying to do is bring back our franchise. It's run by the LA Kings, but meanwhile we use AEG as a big brother. As an example, you want tickets to a concert, you go to AEG.
Right,
we want to play the game. You know, but that's just that's a silly example. But we're trying to just bring our franchise, and that's kind of my role to you put the franchise becomes like a one unit, you know, that just represent the Kings.
So let's say you leave here and you go to your office and you sit in your chair and then you go, all right, now I'm going to
call someone.
Play poker online. I mean, I don't know what.
Meet someone.
That was a Sudoku.
Right.
No, I'm going back to the office and, you know, having opening night tomorrow. I mean, the most important thing is we're trying to, I mean, we're really close to selling out right now, so we'll sell out tomorrow night. So we're working on that. And then at the same time, this year we're paying attention to, like, all the game entertainment we're doing. We got a ton of, like, Hollywood crowd coming tomorrow, so we want to pay attention to that.
Sure.
And then make sure, you know, we have a party after the game tomorrow night. We're making sure of that. And, you know, and then we want to make sure that everything we're doing around the arena, when by the time the players come in, the fans come in and leave, everything is done to a T. I mean, what we're trying to do is become the best franchise in the NHL for us. We feel we're in L.A. We should be, just like the Lakers are, you know, known to be in basketball. We want to be that in hockey.
Mm. Now, L.A. Kings opening night, which I believe is, what, the 40th season for the club? Is that right?
It's kind of funny because, you know, we had that stupid year that we got locked out.
Right.
Locked
out.
Game owners.
On the other side, those greedy players. Anyway, opening night is going to be...
It's really our 41st, but 40th.
So we
simplify it as we're starting our fifth decade.
There you go. Much easier. You say that for a while.
So it's Kings versus Blues, and that's, of course, tomorrow at Staples Center. As you mentioned, a few seats left, not too many through Ticketmaster. But you're doing some very special stuff tomorrow, including bringing back some of the all-time greats in the NHL for autograph signings, right?
Yeah. We're bringing back, for the fans in L.A., they haven't seen him for a while, Marcel Dion, that was like our legend for our team. So we're bringing back. We're bringing back Rogi Vachon, and then, you know, one of the all-time fan favorite, Marty McSorley's come in.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got Adam Denmarsh coming, too. Everybody remembers his
big goal
against Detroit. And these guys are going to come sign autographs before the game. And they're part of our big player introduction to being a game. So we got a big show tomorrow.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. You can call if you want at 1-800-520-1067 if you have a question for Luke. We also have some tickets to give away for tomorrow night's season opener.
Sure.
So we'll do all that.
We're giving away yours.
I hope not. Luke, that's got to be really different. Luke Robitaille here from the Los Angeles Kings. That you, if you want to eat a whole pie, you can do it now.
I know. I was just thinking about that.
$5.99.
The problem was
you don't have to be good.
No, when I was playing, I could eat a whole pie. It didn't matter. You're going to work it up. Now you're like, do I eat just a bite? Just a taste of it,
Luke. Tell me about taking the NHL to England, where you and the Ducks played the first two games of the season. And those games counted, right? They were real.
Yeah, those games counted. And, you know, it ended up being, it was a great thing. I mean, I think none of us knew how it was going to be. We knew it was going to be a sellout. But then to realize when we got over there how much attention it got. I mean, the games were broadcast in 100 countries, and it was over there. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but we had more press credentials issued for those two games than the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Wow.
Which
was amazing. There was more press there. So I think it was great. It was great for the NHL to be there. I mean, it was great for our team to be there. I mean, it was amazing how many jerseys and stuff like that we sold.
Now, I know you get a ton of players from Europe, but I never hear about any of them coming from England. Do they play hockey in the UK?
Actually, they play hockey. There's not a lot of rinks, but we had our little kids that play in between piers, and these kids went on. They were from the UK, and they were just flying out there. It was fun, but in reality, in the stands, there were people from Slovakia, Slovenia, Czechoslovakia.
Sure.
You could see a sea of different jerseys. It was pretty cool to see. It was neat.
Now we mentioned that you played Anaheim. I have to ask what it's like for you and what it was like for the Kings to see the Ducks bring the cup to Southern California.
That was the hardest thing to see ever.
I mean, you would have been happier with any other team, right?
About these guys all summer. Every time I'd open a paper, I'd see the cup somewhere on the beach, the cup on Hollywood. Are you kidding me? But that's okay. It makes us want to be good real fast. You know, it's a good thing. I mean, I still think it was a great thing for Southern California. We saw a big jump on new kids wanting to play hockey because of that. So all it does, it forces us to be good real quick. I mean, we need to get to a point where we play these guys in the playoffs. And that's going to be the greatest thing for us in Southern California. And then we need to beat them.
Yeah. Right.
And then
so
we need to win our own damn cup.
There's
and we'll put it everywhere. Bring it here because I know it was here and I'm not happy.
It was here, yeah. And we were way too excited by it, by the way. It was bizarre. All right, let's say good morning to Jim in Manhattan Beach. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you, Luke?
Great, thanks.
Great. I'm curious, what are your expectations? I'm sure they're high. What do you think the Kings' chances are of making a good run at the Cup this year?
Well, that's the thing about our team. We don't want to make the playoffs. You know, we want to be in the playoffs, and we want to compete for the Cup. I mean, we know we have a young team. You know, if you look our three of our key positions, you know, center and D and a goalie, I mean, right now they're all like 20 years old, you know, and but those guys are really good. I mean, then you got kids like Camilleri, Frolov, and Brown. They're still really young, so we know we have a really good future, probably the best future in the NHL. It's us and Pittsburgh. And so for us, we want to compete for the Cup right away because it will only make those players be good fast, you
right.
know, in a way. So if you don't compete for it and you accept to be mediocre or just okay because you use a youth as a you know, as an excuse, it's not a good thing. You
right.
just want to push those guys, and those guys want to push themselves to be the best.
Do you have tickets, Jim?
No, I don't.
All right, we'll give you some tickets for tomorrow night.
Yeah, it was such a great question. Yeah. You deserve tickets.
Yes.
Tell us about the 19-year-old goalie.
He's
because when I was 19, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
And you weren't even good at that.
That's it. And I wasn't even good at that. 19.
I know, and the kid gets a net opening night, and he was as calm as could be, and the bottom line is he's just having fun. I mean, it's a tough situation because you don't know if it's the right thing for us to keep him and so forth. But the bottom line is he's been playing so good, and that's the reason why he's still here. I mean,
right.
he gets out there. He's very, very, very calm. He just seems every save's easy, and it's kind of fun to watch. I mean, it's a great thing for our organization to see that we have a kid like that going up for us for the future.
Right.
How is Rob Blake still alive and playing? Explain that one to me, Luke.
Playing well, by the way.
We just changed his hip. He's our captain. Yeah, he had his, not replaced, but he had his hip fixed this summer. So he's ready to go for a big year. He's our captain this year. He's actually the best guy to surround all those young guys that we have. You always need to have like great veterans, and Rob is the best guy. I mean, I think he's going to have a guy maybe live with him this year. And, you know, we have a couple of veterans. We got Scott Thornton, but Blakey is like he's such like a renowned player. I mean,
he
won
amazing.
The cup, and he's been one of the best defensemen for the last 15 years. And for us to have him as our captain to lead this type of team that we have, it's the best guy to have.
I told him when we had him on the show that when he was with Colorado, I would boo him every time he touched the puck,
me
along
too.
With everybody else, right? And then all of a sudden, now here he is, and couldn't be more excited to have him on the team.
First time he ever came here in L.A. and people start booing, I go next to him on the air, I go, hey, Luke, good game.
Let's take Jesus. He's on line three, calling for Luke Robitaille from Rancho Cucamonga, talking about the Kings' big opening against the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night at Staples Center. Hey, Jesus, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Luke, it's an honor to speak with you. I'm glad that you're still with the franchise.
Thank you.
And had a question. I was wondering, are you guys still planning to have a minor league team in Ontario, California, and when can we expect to see that?
Yeah, we are planning to have a minor league team there, and the arena, I think, is opening up next year, so we'd like to have a team going there next year right away. We don't know what league yet. It's either the East Coast League or maybe might be a Western Hockey League or something like that, but we want to affiliate it to our team. I think it's important that we get some young guys playing there and bring the best team in. Plus, it's such a great hockey area. We need to push that way.
Hey, Zeus, hang on. We're going to give you some tickets for tomorrow night, too, all right?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Not to look past this season, because obviously we're so excited about it, but you mentioned next year, the 2008-2009 season. There's a lot of talk in hockey about changing the schedule up so that we see some more of these teams that don't come around very often, giving you the chance to play those teams out of conference more often. That's something you support, right, Luke?
Yep. And you know, part of my big title is I go to a Board of Governors meeting, and I voted to change it.
Wow. Check that out.
He's got weight.
There you go. It's 1 out of 30, you know.
So no, you get to see the Rangers once in a while,
yeah,
and stuff like that, right?
Like for me personally, and I've explained it to you know, different other owners when you take a break, is I think it's important, you know, to market the game for the future and for TV especially, you know, for so people to see. At one point they were talking that we would play, let's say, the Rangers once, either 1 year here, 1 year there.
And right.
I'm kind of a little bit different. I feel we should play the Rangers over there and the Rangers here. We should play the Toronto Maple Leafs there and here. And you know, sometimes there's going to be teams that people they don't like to see, like the weaker team. But those things change every year. I mean,
right, you never
this
know.
Year everybody wants to see Pittsburgh. 2 years ago, nobody wanted to see them, you know, and that's just the way it is. But I believe that we should play every team at least twice, you know, back and forth. And it's better for our fans, you know. It's a lot more fun. I mean, everybody wants to see, you know, the Rangers, Boston, you know, and
Detroit. He's going to make them play more and now that he doesn't have to play.
Hey, guys, come on.
Exactly,
I've always been fascinated by hockey and how rough it is and how, you know, you get seems like you would get injured every night, and then they'll turn around and play the next night.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it does seem like it would be like if you made a heavyweight boxing match two nights in a row. I mean, it just how about some time off in between, right?
That's the reason my kids don't play. Because they saw me coming home after the games with those ice bags and stitches. They're like, they've never wanted to play. And I think they sat too close to the glass too many nights. You know, they're like,
they took a
no
few
way.
In the head.
Maybe, maybe they're too smart. But, you know, it's definitely, it's one of those sports where it's a marathon throughout the year. I mean, if there's 80 games, I figured one year, there's at least 50 games where you play something's bothering you, maybe 60. You probably have 20 that you're like, I really don't feel anything.
And it's, right.
Those are great.
And those are the first best. 20, those are some, probably, right?
There's at least the first 10.
Well, let's recap some of the – by the way, the calls we did not have a chance to get to that are on hold, you guys hold on. Dave's going to start picking up and giving you tickets for tomorrow night because the Kings have been very generous with helping us out with tickets for our listeners for opening night, Los Angeles Kings versus St. Louis Blues. That's going to be tomorrow night at 7:30 down at Staples Center. If you want to buy your tickets, you still can at Ticketmaster. So I guess the autograph signings with the legends starts at around 4:30. Is that right,
yeah.
Luke?
Yeah, it's starts at 4:30, and don't forget, we're trying to beat our old coach. This is time, boys.
That's right. And then the Fan Fest starts from 5:30 to 7:30. You got bands out there. You're going to have speakers. Kings alumni are going to be there. And then you got a bunch of giveaways and the whole deal. So it's going to be a big opening night at Staples Center. Sounds like a lot of fun tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing a big show before, and make sure you're there at 7:30 because we got a big presentation
for the introductions
guys.
And all that
a lot
stuff.
Of new stuff. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, this is the best time of year right here.
We've had you on our show. You've been very generous with your time, Luke. We've had you on our show many, many times over the years. I don't think I've ever heard you as excited about a season as you seem to be about this one because you don't have to play.
Exactly. That's what it is.
He's not beat
up. If I make mistakes, not everybody can see it now.
Luke, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. We appreciate your support.
Thank you. You know whose birthday it was yesterday? It was the former president of the NRA, Chuck Heston.
Yeah. The great Chuck Heston is still alive. We haven't seen much of him lately. I think the last appearance we had of him was in the Michael Moore movie, wasn't it?
I believe that's probably true, yeah.
Yeah.
But we got him on the phone to find out how the birthday celebration went. Good morning, Chuck.
Hello.
How are you today?
Who is this?
Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Who are you calling?
Chuck Heston. You.
Chuck Heston? It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
No,
a huge fan of your work.
No, you're Chuck Heston.
I remember you in the Ten Commandments.
You were in that.
That was
you. Brought
that was
the tablets of stone down from Mount Sinai.
Chuck, you're Chuck Heston.
Chuck.
Right.
Why are you calling me? Why are you calling a humble fan like me, Chuck?
Okay, we're calling you Charlton Heston because we're fans of
Why
yours.
Why are you calling me Charlton Heston?
you are
Charlton Heston.
No, we're not. But listen, Chuck, happy birthday. How was number 83 for you?
Sorry, Chuck's not here. Can I take a message?
Right, let me try a different tack.
All right, I've got a pen. What do you want to say? Ah, this pen just went off.
That's not a pen.
Ah, a bullet came out of the pen.
Chuck, this pen
is dangerous.
Chuck, did you have a birthday celebration yesterday?
Happy birthday, Chuck. I heard it was your birthday yesterday.
It was your birthday
yesterday. How did you celebrate?
We're asking.
Asking what?
Did you attend a birthday celebration yesterday?
I did. I went to a birthday party.
Okay.
I still don't know who it was for.
It was for you.
It was yours.
The food was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I still have a little piece of lasagna left over here. Ah, this lasagna just went off.
Okay.
This lasagna is dangerous.
Put down the weapons, Chuck. There's no need for you in your condition to be handling firearms. That's dangerous.
I'm sorry Chuck's not here. Can I take a message?
Dear God.
Who's the president of China?
Don't even start. All right, take a message, please, Chuck.
All right.
Happy
Literally
birthday.
Get some paper.
All right.
this paper just exploded.
Chuck, none of that is, those are all weapons that you're shooting.
That explains why the paper was made of metal.
Yeah,
right.
You would think paper would be made of paper.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, hang on. If you've got a pen there, Kevin's going to dictate a message for you to give to Chuck.
I'm Chuck.
Right. Okay, guys,
that's what we're saying. Okay.
This is Charleston Heston speaking.
Right. Okay,
I'm
fantastic.
Sorry I can't get to Happy the phone birthday. Right now. No. But if you'd like to...
Chuck.
Leave a message. I'll be happy to get back to you.
We wanted to say happy birthday. We hope that it was a happy one and you have many more and that your health improves.
I've got a birthday cake here I forgot to eat. What are the odds?
Pretty slim, actually.
Oh, it's a beautiful cake. Yeah. I made it myself.
You don't have candles, do you?
No, I'm okay. Using road flares.
Oh, no.
I didn't have any candles.
Yeah.
Instead of making the cake from baking powder, I like to use gunpowder.
Okay, please
That's
don't
not
light
a good
that.
Idea.
Please,
all right, let
please
me just
don't
blow
light
out the candles.
Chuck, don't.
Afraid of that. not good news for the whole neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Chuck? Mr. Heston?
Fireworks.
That's, how big is this cake? I guess 83 candles, a lot of candles.
Yeah. Hello?
Chuck?
Chuck?
That's the most painful cake I've ever eaten.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. No way, dude. No way, no way, no way. No way. No way, dude. No way.
Come on. We've done four shows today alone. Are you kidding me?
We still have live music coming up from Perry Farrell, Satellite Party. We're in the next room warming up right now, dude.
All right. I'm ready for that, then. 7:54. It's Friday. Ralph's here with a look at the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies, no matter where he turns, there's just no escaping his destiny. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
For those of you expecting to hear the showbiz beat at this point, we've got too much show today, so we had to replace one of our showbiz beats with the movie beat. If you like hearing the showbiz beat and miss it, Kevin and Bean at krock.com. Kevin at krock.com, Bean at krock.com. That's who you want to complain to.
Well, we looked at what was the most expendable thing on the schedule, Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I know. You always do.
You know what? Those guys, Kevin and Bean, they will respond to you poorly. They do not have people skills, so you might not want to engage.
Write them. If you would, bombard them with hateful emails canceling one
different.
Of our showbiz beats.
That'll be so different than yesterday and tomorrow.
That'd be fun. Let's take a look at some of the movies in theaters this weekend. 14 new movies in theaters this weekend.
Wow.
Obviously, I don't have time to talk about them all because Kevin Bean don't like me on their show anymore. So
I want a good movie.
I'm going to pick a couple of them you might be interested in seeing. There's a few documentaries you might want to check out. One's called Kurt Cobain, About a Son. A filmmaker has re-examined the tempestuous life of Kurt through a previously unheard audio interview, and he is matched it to photographs in this documentary. You may want to check that out if you're a Nirvana fan. Also, The Man Who Sold the World. This is a documentary about Steve Rocco, who helped transform the skateboard industry. So you may want to check that out as well in selected theaters. Also in selected theaters is Blade Runner, The Final Cut. This is the classic science fiction film, considered by many to be the best science fiction movie ever made. Harrison Ford stars as a cop who has to hunt down a gang of androids. This version is restored and remastered and has original elements and never-before-seen added footage to the film as well. New improved special effects also, so you might want to check that out.
Rob, isn't that the movie that's been edited and re-edited and put out on DVD in like five different versions? And sometimes the editing actually affects the ending of the movie, right?
Yeah,
it can
yeah,
go a
absolutely.
Number of different ways.
Yeah, the director's cut, Ridley Scott's director's cut, changed the ending of the movie the way he would have liked to have seen it. And this apparently is the ultimate version of the film. If you're a fan, you might want to check it out this weekend.
Until the next one.
Right. Then the final cut.
Right.
Then cut harder. let's check out the big four movies from the studios going into theaters this weekend, starting with Feel the Noise.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Lopez presents this film about three Puerto Ricanos who are dreaming of love and success in New York City to the pulsating beat of reggaeton. Ah-ha!
Is this the one that that dude called us yesterday, what to do, and was yelling about the RICO?
Yes.
In fact, Omarion, who stars in this movie, he finds out early on. New York is a rough city because this is how they do it in the RICO.
Bye.
Damn, that's how y'all doing it in a RICO?
That's how we do it. Woo. You ever heard of Voltio? He's an amazing reggaeton artist. His music is like a mix of like reggae, rap. Seems like a crazy combination, man. It's like music from the ghetto. You know, it's about our struggle, our dreams. Everybody has a dream, man. And dreaming is free.
Dreaming is free.
Is free.
All right. That's how they do it in the RICO.
In the words of Debbie Harry, dreaming is free. Never thought they'd be quoting Debbie Harry in the barrio, but what are you going to say?
Yeah. Now, J-Lo did what? Produced
this film, yeah.
Okay. Got it made.
She got served.
Yeah.
Also opening this weekend, The Seeker. The Dark is Rising. This is a motion picture based on a big series of award-winning children's books by Susan Cooper. Ian McShane, if you ever watched Deadwood, you know Ian's work. He's a very talented guy. Christopher Eccleston, who was on Heroes and also Doctor Who, stars in this film about a school-age boy who learns he's got special powers and a mystical role to play in an age-old struggle of the forces of evil versus the forces of good.
Harry Potter.
Here's a little clip from The Seeker.
You are the sign seeker.
Will, you are part of something that has been waiting for you all your life. We, the old ones, we serve the light. The rider, he serves the dark. The dark is rising, Will. It is you who must restore the power of the light.
I'm sorry, I'm his gray form, but maybe you got the wrong guy.
I'm not interested. I'd rather play Wii at home. And just sit on my fat ass and just eat chips and play video games. Because I'm the American youth of today.
You may be off track here a bit.
Oh,
that doesn't sound good, by the way, that movie.
No, it does not. The Heartbreak Kid opens this weekend. Classic comedy from the 70s written by Neil Simon and Elaine May. Gets remade with Ben Stiller. What could be better?
I don't remember this the first time.
Charles Grodin starred in the original with Cybill Shepherd. It's a very, very funny movie. This is the Farrelly Brothers version, so you can imagine there's going to be a lot more poop in it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
I'm in.
Here's a scene where Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's actual dad, who plays his dad in this movie, and Stiller's best friend, played by Rob Corddry, question Eddie, played by Ben Stiller, about his relationships and why he can't settle down.
I proposed to your mother after 3 dates. She gave me 18 of the best years of my life.
You were engaged to Jody for 5 years. What could that do you?
All right, yeah, but there's other stuff, too.
Such as?
She doesn't have a great sense of humor.
Are you out of your mind? Funny's a male gene, you idiot. Haven't you ever noticed whenever you see a really funny girl, she's a little mannish? Think about it.
Please enjoy.
Okay.
Kevin,
okay.
Tell us how that works out for you.
Okay, that didn't. That clip.
No, it's hilarious.
That clip in itself doesn't sell the movie, I don't think.
Festivus! I'm sorry, wrong character. Same guy.
I can't believe that clip wasn't from Carpoolers on ABC.
Let's talk about the movie that I saw this week and that you should see this week. It's called Michael Clayton.
Oh, I can't wait.
This is one of those movies that you can't boil down into one sentence, which means that you probably had a hard time getting it made. And probably a lot of people won't go because they'll be lining up for The Heartbreak Kid.
Kevin!
But people should go see this movie because it's smart, it's brilliantly written, it's spectacularly acted, and it really is, I think, going to lead to George Clooney's Oscar nomination come early next year. He is terrific in this film. Michael Clayton is what they call a fixer in a major, major law firm in New York City that handles all sort of corporate clients, and he is responsible for cleaning up the messes left behind by people getting into trouble in these high-powered businessmen who don't want to deal with these issues. He has to go in and clean things up. If they have an accident, if they break the law in some minor way, he goes in and he fixes the situation. He's a former prosecutor from New York, and now he is working for a major corporate law firm and gets caught up in an amazing case of espionage regarding a weed killer. That is a class action lawsuit about some people who have been poisoned by this weed killer. This giant conglomerate has manufactured this, and he has to take... he has to learn out what's going on both sides of this case in particular. One of his fellow lawyers who works for the same law firm, Tom Wilkinson, plays Arthur Edens in this film. He's a little manic depressive, and he goes off his meds and starts to realize that what they're doing is wasting their time by defending this giant conglomerate that manufactured this weed killer. Here is George Clooney trying to understand what his friend Arthur, who's now off his meds, is telling him about the case they're currently working on.
Is this me? Am I this freak organism that's been sent here to sleep and eat and defend this one horrific chain of carcinogenic molecules? Is that my destiny? Is that my fate?
You promised me.
Is that it, Michael?
You want to go off your medication, that's fine. But you call me first. That was our agreement.
Sue me.
We okay in there?
Fine.
I'm telling you, this movie is fantastic.
Looks great.
Sydney Pollack also stars. It's dense. You have to pay a lot of attention. The movie sort of folds back into each other in terms of how the timeline is laid out. But by the end of the film, everything falls into place and you realize what really has happened and everything that you've seen leading up to it. It's a remarkable piece of work, and I really recommend you check out Michael Clayton this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And?
Oh, the movie beat, too. Mm-hmm.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie Beat.
From the satellite party in the studio of the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Perry Farrell.
Yeah.
Hey, Perry, good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, too.
Sort of.
How's the satellite party working out for you? How's the latest Perry Farrell project? You loving it?
I'm loving it, yeah. We just came down from Ventura. We were doing the Pacific Northwest and had a lovely time. It's your neck of the woods.
Sure.
But I was explaining that what we do, not only are we on tour, playing in clubs and, festivals sometimes, radio festivals. We just did yours not too long ago.
Kid Rock LA Invasion.
Yeah. But we also jump off the bus, and if we can find spots to, like, great street corners. We were just up in San Francisco, and we on the corner of Market and I think 4th Street, we went and just set up. And just people that are on their way to and from work that just think life sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like automatons, and all of a sudden they walk right into a rock concert.
That's so cool.
That's pretty cool. We were talking about this off the air. It's really hard to stumble into something good. There's mm-hmm. no surprises. Everything's planned. You got to plan your week. You got a show. Yeah. You got to plan how to get there. You got to plan traffic, blah, blah, blah. And to stumble across that must be pretty cool. How often do you do that?
Yeah. Man, we do it practically every day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's starting to wear on me.
How long do you play?
We always say we're going to play 3 songs, but then people start screaming and, you can't walk off. So we end up to play, I don't know, 5 to 7 songs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, do you have the guitar case open? You make a little money while you're doing it?
You know what? I should have had you manage us.
Yeah.
No, we didn't think of that. No, but what we do have is it's kind of cool. We have these small electric, they're battery-powered amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I carry one practically on my shoulder like a handbag. And the guys carry their guitars. They put them down. And it's a really interesting, easy setup.
Huh.
We drop in there. And I think this is going to start happening more. What I'm trying to do, actually, if you really want to know
sure.
the truth, I would love to see cities being just lit up by musicians all day. Because, as I say, we're always going to and from work, like automatons. We think that music is for a dark hole that you have to walk into and buy a beer for $9.
Right.
And that's what music has become. And I think, music is there for us to celebrate, and we should be celebrating life. We should be in ecstasy all day, right? I mean, we should.
Right.
Be nice.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
So I can imagine in a few years if other musicians dig this concept, because we're doing it with we're out on tour right now with this group Mink,
mm-hmm.
and we all get out there and do it, and so it's a nice kind of an orchestra. We have probably 9 musicians playing all at the same time and singing at the same time, and it really sounds nice. People just stop and kind of crack up and laugh and start dancing.
What kind of reaction you get from, what are the extreme reactions?
Yeah, the only reaction I haven't gotten is the money throwing yet.
Oh.
So I got to work on that.
Come on, people.
Tip jar.
The tip jar.
Some people just can't believe it's you. They think, that guy looks so much like Perry Farrell, but of course it can't be for free in the middle of the street.
Yeah, well, they do. Then it does take them like 3 songs. And they always ask, what am I doing here? And I always say, well, I'm in town to play tonight. And so it actually helps the shows a lot, because we always get an extra couple of hundred people coming to the shows that have become fast friends with us mm-hmm. that afternoon.
Right.
And it makes for this party atmosphere That is quite unique.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I love that idea.
Perry, how do you – this is one thing I've always been curious, and I don't know that I've ever asked you this before, but when you write songs, how do you decide in what form they're going to end up? Sometimes it's a Jane's Addiction song. Sometimes it's a Porno for Pyros. Sometimes it's a solo. Sometimes it's a Satellite Party. Sometimes it ends up being with another artist on their record.
Yeah.
What do you – I mean, what's the deal when you sit down to start a project? How do you know which direction you're going to go in?
Well, when you mean write, do you mean lyrically or musically?
Either one. Both. Whatever songs okay. you have, it seems like they end up in so many different places that I don't know how you get started to end up there.
I gotcha. Well, okay, good question. The first thing is I have a poetry book that I always have with me, not a computer. I've written on written lyrics on computer, but I find that having a book and a pencil, like the old school, for two reasons. One, when I die, there's a nice book that's left behind.
Okay, good.
<That's true. laughs>
That my kids and my wife can, have and auction so, off if they need dough. And then the other thing is, there's a wonderful connection between, your hand and expressing it out with penmanship. And the other thing, too, is I always will write about life experience. So all the songs always start out with, we'll be partying and drinking or something like that. Because when I'm around people, I know some people like to go away and write. I like to go to people and write. Right. I like to hang out with people. Somebody might say something that is so, off the,
just out of the blue, right?
Just out of the blue. And they don't even realize what they just said. It was like, wow. Like the other day I was in San Francisco and we were all hanging out and partying, and I met up with this person that had been going to my shows, I'm sure since, 1980s, right?
Wow.
And this person hadn't changed much in the way of, like, they were still out there and doing their thing. And then I said to him, and man, if we ain't changed, we ain't never gonna, are we? And so then, okay, there's a lyric that could be a chorus. And if we ain't changed yet, we ain't never gonna. So that could become something. So I save the poetry. And then I go back to the music later. See, a lot of people will write, they will start with music.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the singer comes in and then he tries to stuff words on top of something.
A lot of bands do it that way, yeah.
Yeah, but then what happens is you're forcing a rhyme, you're forcing yourself to go on the cadence of the music, and it gets very stiff. Then you're kind of, you're boxed, you don't have options. But when you just write poetry first, certain words might have to be fitting in there that aren't exactly square enough to fit, and that makes it unique and it makes it exciting, and it actually, sometimes those lines really stand out and become special. So I never try to fit them in like that. I just have lots of experiences saved on paper.
We're having a songwriting lesson here this morning with Perry Farrell. That's who you're listening to on the World Famous K-Rock with his band Satellite Party. The album is called Ultra Payloaded, and they're going to be performing for us here in a couple minutes, too. Lollapalooza, Chicago only now. How did that end up happening, and is that the future of that festival?
Well, I'm going to tell you now. I will make an announcement. There's a very, very good likelihood that we're going to be expanding locations.
Yes.
But I'm not going to give away the place yet because it's not definite. But
and when you say expanding location, are you talking about doing it at two places at once? Touring again?
Maybe not at once.
Not at once.
But maybe what they call piggybacking.
Okay.
This is for production reasons. that you piggyback rather than simultaneous. But one of them is because you can take all those groups from the night before and then shift them over to the next place,
sure.
Right?
Sure, sure.
And that makes it good for them, good for us. But the reason we chose Chicago was Chicago just really opened up their, their hearts and opened up their arms to us, to this location, Grant Park. And Grant Park, I explained last time I was here, is it's right in the heart of the city, and it's rimmed by all the beautiful architecture there. And we couldn't say no to it. It was just absolutely ideal. And let's face it, Chicago is in the heartland of America.
Sure.
And it's bordered by seven different, major cities and the busiest airport in the country. So there was a lot of reasons, but it has worked out really, really, really well. And the reason that we did it in one location was because over the years, as we all know, the touring industry got corporatized by one particular corporation. And sure. they made a very sterile environment for rock concerts. Basically, it was the amphitheaters. They would what happened, y'all, out there is a corporation bought up all the promoters in the country. And they also bought up the amphitheaters in the country. So when a rock tour was to come through town, that rock tour had to go into that amphitheater in that city that was owned by that corporate rock promoter. Mm-hmm. Get it? So we didn't like that, because nor did our audience
right.
and our patrons. So we decided, and we are, I am an independent promoter, one of the few in this country. So I wanted a place where I could set up and have my wild party and do my thing. I didn't want to have to ask anybody for a budget. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wanted to plan it my way and put the money that I wanted to into it. And so that's why it has become a destination festival for the time being. However, the climate has once again changed, I believe, in this country. And I see the climate changing in the way of the musicians themselves. The recording industry has become a very precarious and desperate place,
yeah,
because musicians are not making money selling records. They
right.
need to get out on the road and perform to earn a living, to sustain themselves. So I see now that musicians, if they were cooperative and communal and had that great spirit of, you know, the old road shows of the 1950s, where they would all get out together and they would tour
right.
together. I think it would be really, really great for the musicians, especially the younger ones who don't have an audience, aren't getting played necessarily on radio.
Right, sure.
How are they going to get out there and make any money and sustain themselves to continue to develop? So I'm working on getting Lala out on the road. And it doesn't have to be in the exact incarnation that we remember it. It can, again, it can be a hybrid. It could be five groups, and it could go indoors into a smaller venue until such time we meet up maybe in Chicago. And there's also all of the rest of the world to consider.
Sure.
And I am.
And you do, right?
Yes,
big
and
plans.
I do.
All right. Perry Farrell is here. We're going to take a break in a moment and come back and hear from Satellite Party. We should mention, by the way, that you are not just by coincidence here today. You're going to be playing twice over the weekend. You're going to be playing tomorrow at the L.A. Detour Festival in downtown L.A.
Yeah.
What's the deal on that? It starts at noon. That's an outdoor event?
It's an outdoor event, and it's put on by Golden Voice people, which is the same people that put on Coachella.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the LA Weekly, which is, you know, when I was coming up as a musician, I would be so excited to get that weekly on Thursdays to see if my name was in the paper. Oh, man, I'm playing in the club, you know. And I would cut it out, even though it didn't say my name specifically.
Right.
It said Jane's Addiction performing with. But anyway, it's a new thing, and it's very much an L.A. thing, and we'll be performing with Block Party and Justice. It's a DJ tandem team.
Fantastic.
That are really spectacular. They made a big splash at Coachella last year.
And then
year.
Sunday, you're at the Glass House in Pomona.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Also,
okay.
Golden Voice pals. Own that Glass House, and we look forward to that show as well.
You can go to Ticketmaster for tickets for those shows. Tomorrow, downtown L.A., Sunday at the Glass House in Pomona, or, of course, satelliteparty.com. All right, you want to head into the other room? We'll hear some live music. I know no one loves to sing more at 8 o'clock in the morning than you do. So,
how'd you know?
Give that a try next, Perry?
Okay.
We'll do that when we...
They were on the bill at the L.A. Invasion concert last month. Now they're playing the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Seems like a step down for the guys. Perry Farrell and Satellite Party are here. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to start out with a song called You Make My Hard Life Easy. And then we're going to go into an old school one, Ain't No Right.
We'll be right back.
I took you undercover. When you asked me, how you doing, Tiger, I said, my life just got easy. Big mountain, Colorado, oh, small island, Fiji. I take you everywhere I go because you make my life easy. Watch over me like heaven does the sea, floating on a bedside screen. And give to me your kiss of victory. Oh, our life just got easy now. And when my stitches come undone, and I lose the stuff that fills me, I hold you, suddenly I'm better for it. You make my life easy. Watch over me like heaven does the sea, floating on a bedside screen. And give to me
a little culture, a little class on the Kevin and Bean Show. We don't usually have music that good on our show, Perry. Is that Nick playing that killer fretwork there? That's awesome, man. That sounds tremendous. The band is Satellite Party. Don't forget, you can see them at the L.A. Detour Festival, downtown Los Angeles, starting at noon tomorrow. Glasshouse in Pomona is Sunday night. Go to Ticketmaster or SatelliteParty.com for more information. You can do another one for us.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, by the way, look at every street corner today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You never know where you might show up.
Good point.
Keep your eyes open.
That's right. Well, this one's old school, man. This is a Jane's tune. By the way, the last one, that was written by Flea and John Frusciante and Satellite Party.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But this one here, this is an old school straight Jane's called Ain't No Right.
One, two, three, four. Man, I am skinny. That ain't wrong. Tell you why. Pleasure and pain. I
came and blew down my home. Not a green grass grow. Bad wind came and blew down my home. God damn it, there's no. Where the green grass grow, I can't be alone. And goodness knows I ain't alright. Pleasure and
come on, people. How about that? Fantastic. Fantastic work, guys. Thank you, Perry. Thanks to the band. Satellite Party sounding terrific. Go see them this weekend, satelliteparty.com. We'll be right back with more after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. What is your rush, dude? What's your rush?
Thanks so much for listening to the show.
What's your rush?
Had a great time. Have a nice weekend. We'll see you Monday. We have to be done. Dude. We just had Perry Farrell in here doing a freaking concert. We had Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings already. We talked to the guy from the Meerkat Manor. We had Rex Hudler, the Wonder Dog, on talking about the Angels.
What doesn't fit in that show?
The Meerkat Manor. Maybe the Rodent Watch 2007. I'm just saying, this is more show than we generally give them in 5 hours. You're telling me we're still not done?
We can tell them not to get used to it.
Okay.
NFL talk just after 9 o'clock with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Sunday Ticket. One of the best damn things ever in history. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic, including that brain-eating amoeba that they found at Lake Havasu.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Kevin, this is Dr. Smith. We got your test results back, and over the summer you did get a brain-eating amoeba. But don't worry, the little sucker starves to death.
See what he did there?
Good news for you, Kevin.
There are constant complaints about people and how moronic they use their cars in traffic.
I am sick and tired of all these idiots on the freeway stopping to look at a lighted sign that says 15 minutes till the 10 freeway. Stop looking and drive!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, the rule ought to be in every situation, don't slow down unless you must. If you can go faster, go faster. That ought to be the rule out on the highway. Who's
you would
with
think,
it?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a very specific message just for Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike, George Takei. Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people that do voices that really believe that they nail it, this guy's not one of them.
Psycho Mike, George Takei. Did you hear I have my own asteroid now? Psycho Mike, would you like to come and explore my asteroid?
See what he did with that?
Horrible.
Yeah, that was not good.
Hey, remember when you guys were talking about girls who find pleasure in giving oral to their guys? Lisa May? It works both ways. No turn? No turn? No turn? Why am I talking like this?
Oh, I do. Trust me.
Does that work?
I went shopping for the right guy.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now. And finally.
Dude, you guys need to get Alex off the air doing those commercials. She is the most annoying chick I've ever heard in my life. Just shoot her.
That's because you haven't heard this commercial.
What to do, nephews? It's Alex from the Kevin and Bean Show, better known as your super whore. And I love many things. I love big fancy. That's right. I love them. They did my. And it's perfect.
You know when it's especially perfect? When it's painless due to a lot of drugs, and it was over very quickly, and you're out of there. So call 1-888. Those do not come cheap, but someone gives you a That's pretty good, people. I let them put lasers in my Trust me, it works.
All right.
Biatches. So if you're interested in nice big call 1-888. That's what the Kevin and Bean Show recommends.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
What the hell? Why a siren?
What is going on?
Oh, some kind of siren.
Lightning being hilarious.
The problem with Lightning is that he's a loud little kid anyway, and you give him a bullhorn.
Some of his comedy shtick.
Yeah.
He's on fire today, by the way.
He really is.
Yeah. He and I are going to throw down by the end of the show.
If he lasts until 10 a.m., I will be surprised.
Do you remember that drunk boxing thing everybody wanted to happen? Yeah. It's going to happen in the office. No one is going to see it except for Alex, but it's going to go down.
Right. At least he's dressed like his kids now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, wearing diapers. Ridiculous.
No, he's wearing those shorts that go down to the knees, those plaid shorts that go down to the knees. He looks absurd today.
Real quick, I did the most insane thing ever when we were in Las Vegas. I went shopping with Lightning. And it's unbelievable. Your head will spin. Clothes shopping with Lightning.
Why? You and Lightning had quite the romantic weekend in Vegas. You were working out together. You went shopping together. Yeah. It was very special.
We went to the Forum Shops at Caesars and just walking around and getting Lightning's ideas and his comments on clothing.
Did he buy a 45-pound watch?
he was this close to buying a white watch at Dolce & Gabbana that was like the size of a stopwatch.
He likes a watch you have to carry with both hands. That's what he likes.
He's like an alien to us. We don't understand.
I don't know why he's not just carrying a grandfather clock around him. That's about the size he wants.
he should strap a sundial to his wrist. He should do a big granite sundial. That would make him happy.
Well, listen, we got a lot of complaints, mostly fueled by Ralph's remarks on the air to email Kevin and Bean. But
they
we did get a lot of complaints.
Spontaneous.
Oh, yeah, right. Because we had to bump one of your showbiz beats last hour, so we apologize for that. Ralph is back. He does have one more report for the week, and it's right now. But I warn you, take as long as you want, Ralph. It's all you. But I warn you that your personal Lord and Savior, Andrew Siciliano, is in the next room, and he's coming in the next
break.
I don't know.
We were chatting when he got here, and I'm telling you, not only the hardest working sportscaster in the industry, but one of the best.
Ralph has a crush.
I'm telling you, the guy's remarkable. He should be in the freaking booth for Monday Night Football, not that freaking Tony Kornheiser.
Hey, I second that emotion,
that
by the way.
That guy's horrible.
Yeah, he's a real good writer. Terrible on the TV. Terrible.
No fan of that threesome. Even Jaws, my boy Ron Jaworski, maybe should not,
so not
be in that booth. Yeah, but I'm telling you, Andrew is the best, and we'll talk about the RCZ.
Right. The Red Zone channel.
RZC.
Yes,
sure.
That's
what we're going to talk about, which is the best channel on DirecTV. So.
Now, do they cover the Eagles at all or just professional football?
Oh, yes! No, you did!
Yes, yeah. Baby! Being the Red Zone is just within the 20-yard line, so they wouldn't be on that.
They are in the Red Zone all the time.
Oh, they just don't score?
They don't score any touchdowns. That's the thing. A lot of field goals for them. But they're in the 20 yards all the time.
Woo!
Actually, Andrew's an Orange man, former Syracuse grad.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure he attended college while Donovan McNabb was quarterback for the Syracuse
Red
Orangemen. So we'll have to talk about that. Let's talk about first Britney Spears, shall we?
Orange?
Earlier in the week, I jokingly mentioned that maybe someone should get custody of her dogs, too, that she's not fit to even care for canines.
Yeah.
I was joking.
Right.
PETA so much, not joking. They have sent a letter to Kevin Federline asking him to pursue a custody order with the courts to get custody of the puppies.
Well, that's good use of our court time.
For the sake of your children, they write, and the animals who are at risk while in Ms. Spears' custody, we hope that you will do the right and best thing for all involved and pursue a custody order for the animals so that your sons can continue to have the company of the animals they've grown to adore.
Ralph, I don't have kids, don't know a lot about raising them, but is high on the list of priorities for 1- and 2-year-olds having dogs around?
Probably not.
No, it's a bad idea.
And their assumption that the kids have grown to adore these animals is a complete guesswork on their part. They may not even be in the same house. Who knows? Brittany might leave the puppies in the car with the windows rolled up in the heat while the kids are inside playing with broken glass and sulfuric acid. We don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So, anyway, it's just silly. It's just silly. You don't have to get custody of the dogs. Let's deal with real issues. Girl's killing herself with drugs. She's raising two kids in a horrible situation.
And she's fat.
Yeah, let's not forget about that.
You're fat.
Have you seen the new video? The video for Give Me More?
Yes,
It's been posted on the internet. You can take a look.
It's her actual... It's supposed to be her actual music video, right?
Yeah, it's the actual musical video. Yeah, yeah. And, whew, it's bad. Yeah.
She spends the majority of the time up on the stage in a black wig just being a stripper, basically, is what she's doing. And she looks so at home there. Looks like a clump Jumbo's Clown Room. And she's working the afternoon shift, pretty much.
My God.
Listen,
I couldn't believe this. I thought I had bought tickets to SeaWorld.
You're fat.
It's less a music video, more a glimpse into the future, I think.
Yeah.
Please
the
enjoy.
Near future.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards are going at it again with another round of their ugly custody case.
Oh, good.
Both of the lawyers have filed a number of documents with the L.A. Superior Court. Her lawyers are alleging that Charlie wrote her a number of ugly emails recently, calling her a sad, jobless, talentless pig.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Awesome.
Why is that awesome?
Because Mike likes the domination of women. He likes when women's self-esteem gets attacked.
She's not a nice person.
Yeah, it's not
we know
women.
That.
It's Denise Richards.
Yeah, it's her specifically.
He also told her, this is not funny, I don't know why I'm laughing, when she was upset to go to cry to her bald mother, who happened to be undergoing chemotherapy at the time.
Oh, man.
So that may have been a little over the line.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
He and Baldwin should have a pig off. Who could be more offensive using the word pig? Well, you just call someone a pig until they cry, and the first one to make them cry wins.
I like it.
Orange?
What's up with the orange?
I don't know. Ask Dave.
Kim and Kourtney Kardashian.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Kim Kardashian and her lovely sister, Kourtney Kardashian, they're having a rough day. Wednesday, a photographer named Eric Ford has announced he wants to put some provocative photographs that he took of the two sisters up for sale to the media.
Well, all right, then.
Here's the thing.
No.
The girls are fighting any deal he wants to strike because they claim they posed for the pictures when they were only 16 and 17 years old.
Oh.
Thus constituting kiddie porn, basically.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Mr. Ford wisely tells the New York Daily News that he hasn't sold any of the material yet. So he is not guilty therein. But look, Kim Kardashian at 17, she's like most women at like 30.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't use the same scale to judge them all. That's what I'm saying.
That should be the legal ruling.
That's
what
I'm saying. Take a look.
Just if they're hot enough.
Sure, she's not 17. That's what you're saying. Right. And then you just show the picture.
All right.
That was always my defense of the guy in the movie The Crush, is look at Alicia Silverstone. Now, technically, she's 15, but look at her.
Right. Mm. Good point. See you in court. And Desperate Housewives in trouble. They've insulted an entire country.
Uh-oh.
Terry Hatcher's character on Sunday went to see a doctor, and before she allowed him to examine her, said the following. Okay, before we go any further, can I check those diplomas? Because I'd just like to see and make sure they're not from some medical school in the Philippines.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, yes, she did. Well, the Filipinos are up in arms. First of all, they can't decide whether to use a PH or an F when they're writing their complaint letter. But
yeah, what's up with that, by the way?
Philippines, by the way, PH. Filipino, F. Starts with an F.
Yeah. It's weird.
No, they got bigger problems than what Terry Hatcher's saying on Desperate Housewives. But they fired off a letter to ABC defending their country's medical practices, saying that the United States recognizes Philippine medical and nursing professionals in general.
Oh, dear God.
And they are demanding an apology from the TV show.
Come Let's on. Give the Filipinos Britney's dogs and just be done with it all.
No, Bean, because give a Filipino a dog and give him lunch.
That's true.
But you teach a Filipino how to hunt for dogs, you can feed him for a lifetime.
Don't trust the yellow man!
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm sure we could offend more people if we didn't quit right this second.
You want to spend a little more time?
Yes.
We got Andrew.
Yes.
We got Siciliano in the next room.
All right, we'll take
Maybe we can mock some Italians when he shows up.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, they're all in the mob, you know.
That's for sure. Nikki Hilton, daughter. Nope.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, she is a daughter.
Sure.
Of Kathy Hilton, but more famously, she is the sister of Paris Hilton. She's 24 years old today.
Where's her sex tape, by the way? Don't tell me there isn't one.
She is the good and evil twins. She sure seems like she's the winner.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
She's got a successful clothing line she designed. She keeps her nose clean. She's not arrested. She's out of the news. She looks great in comparison to her sister, or she's actually got it going on.
Probably.
Kate Winslet, very talented actress, is 32 years old today. Guy Pearce, is 40 years old today. You know, we were talking about, I couldn't remember what period movie I was thinking of him. I thought he was in The Illusionist or what. It was The Count of Monte Cristo he was in. Oh. That's why I kept imagining him.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Anyway, he's 40 years old today. Also in L.A. Confidential, by the way. If you've never seen that movie, him and Russell Crowe, that is a great film.
He's the best.
Daniel Baldwin, one of the Baldwin brothers. He is 47 years old today. Bernie Mac turns 50 years old today. And Bob Geldof, St. Bob, who gave us Live 8 and then Live 8. He is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the man from the Red Zone DirecTV channel. He is the most competent, I know we always say this, the most competent broadcaster working today.
I'm touched. I'm flattered.
It's insane.
There's nobody watching who could do what Andrew does, yet he does it and does it so effortlessly.
Before,
it's amazing.
Before we continue kissing your ass, explain to people what it is you do on the NFL Sunday Ticket.
All right. NFL Sunday Ticket, we have something called the Red Zone, which this year is in high def, which means you get to see how funny looking I am.
Yes.
Basically what it is when some kids grow, when they're little kids, they dream of scoring a touchdown at the Rose Bowl. They dream of, I don't know, hitting the walk-off home run of the World Series. I dreamt of holding the remote control. And I get to hold the remote control for every stinking NFL game on Sunday. So if there's a big play, we'll show it to you. If there's three guys, three teams in the red zone, we'll show you three games on the same screen at the same time. If something is about to happen or just did happen, you will not miss it. One channel, don't flip around. If you could put down your manlihood, if you could actually step back from the remote and hand it to us, you're not going to miss a thing.
Well, see, and Andrew's the opposite of me, really. I mean, I can't keep anything straight.
You can't keep one.
Right. Not one.
One idea straight in your head.
And Andrew somehow has every game going on and moves effortlessly without commercials from one to the next to the next to the next. It's really just it's stunning.
It's the television equivalent of spinning plates. And you do it for like 3 hours with no commercial breaks. You never stop when they go to a timeout. You always go to another game. You're constantly calling games and you know all the players, what's happening, where they are in the field. It's insane. It's remarkable.
We actually do it for 6.5 hours.
We do the early games and the late games.
We do every stinking game. And there's a 5-shot venti iced Americano in the morning. And there is another one at the start of the 1 o'clock
game. But then
game.
That's it because you can't go to the bathroom.
No, I can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Dude.
I have a bag, basically. I have a bag and I hide under the desk.
You have
a
NASA diaper?
Diapers? You know what they do? Have you ever seen when they're fixing an injury? Like Monday night, a couple of weeks ago, they had to fix Steve McNair's groin injury. They were taping up his groin on the sideline.
Yeah.
So they had the trainers hold up sheets or towels on the sideline so the cameras couldn't see. That's what they do. They bring the cameras in. They bring the sheets in, and that's what I do.
I like it. Now, we should mention that that your channel, your show, is only available as part of the DirecTV NFL package, the Sunday Ticket. You cannot get it separately, although I'm sure that's the most asked question to DirecTV is, why can't I just buy you, right?
Right. Actually, that's what my mother says. It's NFL Sunday Ticket Superfan Package, but it's not. You get Red Zone. You get all the games in HD that are shown in HD. And now, this year, you could actually get the stuff on your computer as well. So if you have the Superfan, you could stream it to your computer. You can get it on your phone. And you're going to get every single game, including the game mix, where you show, and this gives me a headache, 8 games on one screen at the same
time. That's what I want on my cell phone.
Yeah.
The 8 games on
the cell phone. That works.
It looks like ants playing football.
I can't see any of them, but it's interesting.
Now, I flip around and I watch sometimes the 8-screen one, because I do have the Superfan package. But for me, it's not worth it. Because once you see Andrew calling the games and you see the games that way, you don't want to watch football any other way on a Sunday.
It's too slow. Any other way.
And it's the best way to get an overall view of everything that's happening in the league at one time. It's a remarkable service that they provide, and Andrew is brilliant.
How many different people are talking to you in your earpiece during the games?
Opposed to the voices normally speaking to my head right now during the week?
Yeah.
There's usually 3. Maybe 2, maybe 1. It depends. Because
what are they doing? Giving you the lead up? What's kind of happening?
Well, no, it's kind of basically, I'm standing in front of a wall of TVs.
Okay.
It's like the ultimate sports bar. I have like a wall of 40-inch HD TVs, and then I have 2 60-inch TVs, so we can put the big games on the big screens.
Can I come over on Sunday?
You could, actually. Come on over. Bring the beer, please. We need some. And then I pace around. We look at the screens, and it's kind of like, are you seeing what's on game 3? Are you seeing what's on game 5? Do you see that? Maybe we can put 3 and 5 on the screen at the same time, or 3, 5, and 8. On the screen
it's kind
at the
of like
same
NASA
time.
NASA Control Central.
It basically is.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Truman Show?
Oh,
where you got the wall of
the
TVs? It's basically that, except you are holding in your hands everybody's NFL enjoyment.
How much research do you do for the coming week so that you know everything that's involved in that game? And how do you keep all the players straight, especially with all the funny black names?
We had an Atari Bigby with an INT last week. The dude's name is Atari.
Atari.
His first name.
Awesome. Does he know Jamarcus?
I have no idea. How about Jamarcus, by the way?
Yeah,
Jamarcus
great, yeah.
gets to stand there with his hat on sideways. Dude's probably driving a Bentley now.
Yep,
he's got
right.
$32 million guaranteed, and he doesn't have to break a freaking sweat.
Nope. That's true. Yeah.
Not all year.
Nope.
Not all year. The answer is I don't do any more research than I would do during the week. I do a radio show on Fox during the week, and it's just the same stuff. And I go in, and I spit it out like Rain Man on Sunday.
Why isn't your show on in L.A., though?
It was for 5 years. However, corporate powers that be now do not have it on. Hmm. Can I plug XM?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, XM 142, 4 to 7.
That's where we can find you, on the
exactly.
radio. Okay. All right, we need to take a break. Andrea Siciliano is here, of course, the Red Zone DirecTV channel. You can go to directtv.com or call 888-777-2454. We want to talk, if you don't mind, Andrew, because it is Friday, we'd like to talk about some of the teams, some of the games and stuff that's coming up this weekend. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Do that now.
Right now, Andrew Siciliano is here from the Red Zone DirecTV channel, directtv.com, talking about football this weekend. Ralph, the Eagles, is this their bye week?
Yes, I guarantee they won't lose this week.
Thought they had a bye week Sunday. Didn't they have a bye week Sunday?
And the first 2 weeks of the season, they also took off as well. But speaking of which, you were you at Syracuse when McNabb was the quarterback?
We had one overlapping year. My senior year was his freshman year, his first year as a starter.
Yeah. You haze him?
No.
Oh.
He was a lot bigger than me and still remains a lot bigger than me, even when he was a skinny 18-year-old freshman.
Yeah. Did you see anything exceptional in him at that time, Andrew?
You know, his very first game was on the road at North Carolina, national TV, Saturday night game, first week of the season, and he actually wasn't named the starting quarterback until the day before. He beat out a couple of other guys, including, remember Kevin Johnson, the wide receiver, former Brown, former Raven, former whomever. He was actually a quarterback. Beat him out. Last day of camp, got the job. He's 18 years old. He walks into the huddle, and they gather around for his very first play. And instead of calling the play, he busts out an impression of the head coach, Paul Pasqualone. The team learned to love him right then and there, and he led him to greatness.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so the Eagles clearly are one of the big surprises of the season. And because as we heard week from Ralph coming in, they had a great preseason. And Ralph, wasn't everybody picking him to go big this year, right?
Well, they thought they were one of the contending teams in the NFC, certainly in the NFC East. It was supposed to be a battle between them and the Cowboys for the East. And it was all, of course, pending on how healthy McNabb was. But the whole team's falling apart. Special teams and the O-line and everything. They're struggling in all different areas.
I rented the O-line over the weekend.
Did you?
How was that?
Nice.
Very good.
Andrew, are the Cowboys as good as their 4-0 record suggests? Or have they gotten some breaks?
You know, they are as good. And they actually kind of scare me. By the way, if you do a suicide pool, take them this week over the Bills.
Yeah, I think
if you can wait till Monday.
That's
if you don't need your suicide pool fixed on Sunday, you want them on Monday night, because they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. They are that good. And I don't know who's the next best team after them in the NFC. I actually think it's the Seahawks. Other people think it's the Packers. I think the Packers are a sham. But
the Cowboys are
that good. They have no defense.
Packers.
Well, take it back. The Packers have a defense, but they have zero running game. It's a non-existent running game. And if you can't run in January, we'll put it this way. If they get a home game in the playoffs, the only guy who can beat them at Lambeau in the playoffs is sitting on his couch smoking weed in Atlanta.
Sure.
So that's not going to happen. So they maybe can win without a running game in the postseason, but I think they're a sham.
Do you find that Cowboys fans overall are quite gay?
Actually, yes.
We do. Yeah,
Have you seen the large, 50-gallon hat there?
Oh, yeah.
On the mascot? I think they are.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, I think you can take that to the bank. They say it's America. They're not America's team.
Hardly.
How are they America's team?
Yeah.
Everyone
not
hates them. Everyone who's not a Cowboys fan in America hates
Thank
them.
You.
How can they be America's team?
All right, let me ask you about a couple trends 4 games in. The Chargers, what happened to them from last year?
You get what you pay for. You fired Marty, and now you get this guy.
Norv.
And Norv has never, ever, ever been a good head coach. If you actually go back to week one after they beat the Bears, you read all the quotes after week one. They said, hey, it's going to be different this year. We're not afraid. We're not playing Marty ball. We threw that pass that we called the LT option pass.
Right.
We're going to step on guys' throats. And now it's exactly the opposite. They're a joke. Sean Merriman said this week, we look at us on tape and we're awful. And they're not getting any better. I don't think they're getting any better. I think the thing's going to be a disaster. And I think the only way to write it, and I know this is absurd, is regime change right now. And that is,
fire the coach right now.
Get him out right now. Because this is what you pay for. If you're going to be A.J. Smith or the Spanos family and you're going to get rid of Marty and bring this guy in, it's all on you. So now it's your fault. Now it's your shot to fix it.
Yeah, they say they took a coach who couldn't win in the postseason and traded him for a coach who can't win in the season.
Exactly.
That's what they got.
Exactly. Yeah. But, hey, it works.
This is Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone DirecTV channel we're talking to, talking about some of the games this weekend, some of the teams, some of the impressions so far. Is Arizona as good as they appear to be, having beaten the Steelers and the Seahawks already this year? Because that's a team we weren't expecting much out of this year.
They actually beat two good teams, and those teams, the Seahawks and the Steelers, play each other this week. I think they're better. I think the fact that they haven't chosen a quarterback that was going to kill them, they can say it's going to work for now, and it may work for a couple of weeks, but just pick one. It's not college football. You're not Florida. Pick a stinking quarterback. Go with one quarterback. It's the NFL, and eventually, even if it works for a couple of weeks, it'll come back. It'll bite you in the butt. One of them, Leinart's already complaining.
Sure.
And now he claims that he doesn't remember giving any of those quotes. None of them.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, it's a great sign, especially over a bottle of wine at dinner on Sunday night after the game. It's a great sign.
All right, here's my last question for you, Andrew. Who's better, the Patriots or the Colts?
The Patriots.
They're just a machine, aren't they?
The Colts are banged up. The Patriots are sick. It's like
especially when they cheat?
Yeah, absolutely, because cheating makes us all better. He sits back there. Tom Brady sits back there, and he reads the Sunday paper. No one touches him.
Yeah.
Nobody touches him. They cheat, and they're angry, because now we know they're cheaters, and so they're angry cheaters.
So we made it worse now that we caught
him? We made it worse, because they're now angry cheaters. They have two games all year. They have to play the Cowboys and they have to play the Colts, and that's it. If they win those two games, I don't ever want to say 16-0, but they might beat my Browns by 30 this week.
Dude.
Here's the thing I'm thinking. They'll probably clinch their division by Thanksgiving.
Then take the foot off the gas.
That's what I'm thinking. So they'll probably lose a couple games towards the end of the season. I don't think they'll go 16-0.
No one's going to go 16-0.
No one does that anymore, right?
No, you need the old men in diapers down in Miami busting champagne corks. Right? The most bitter old men on earth.
That's right. Shula is still angry.
Yeah, they do send them out to all of those, like game 13, game 14, when those teams are on a roll. They always send those old guys out there to sit in the stands, don't they?
Can't they get over
always.
It?
No.
I mean,
no.
Can't they just revel in their ask me about my grandkids bumper stickers? Can't they just move on?
That's all they have left.
They don't move on. Let it go.
Andrew, what time do we want to be up and watching Sunday morning to see you on the TV?
You want to be up at 9:55 Pacific, 12:55 Eastern.
Okay.
It's on 703 if you're going to slum it up in standard def. It's on 718 on DirecTV if you want to watch it in high def, which means my ears fit into the screen on high def. 718, we do a little pregame show, we get the games rolling, and if it's a good week, you don't see me. So pray for a good week, because the better the week is, 9 games early this week, 3 games late, we bounce around, and as long as there's good action, we don't have to come into the studio. So the goal every week is to see me only 3 times: halftime, beginning, and end.
I think we're all agreed on that.
The games. Oh, no, we all agree. My parents agree. If they're out of the country, they don't even want to see it.
Now, you're a young guy, but what kind of makeup are they having to put on some of the old guys on high def now?
Guys, I don't know. Have you ever worked in high def? I never worked.
No.
This is the first year we did high def. It I don't watch when I go home.
Really?
I don't know if you guys TiVo anything you ever
hide.
Do. I don't watch anymore when I go home. I don't. It's caked. It's like Tammy Faye makeup.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They do a good job.
That's weird.
But I can't watch.
Sure.
I can't watch.
All right.
Well, you won't find bigger fans of your work than the guys
Thank
in this
you,
room. And by the way, Lisa May, riveted by this last half hour. Couldn't
have
enjoyed this talk more.
Look,
that's
attention.
How good Andrew is.
You should see
she
her white
no
knuckles
interest.
On the desk.
She has no interest in sports, and even she was listening to Andrew talk. That's how good it is.
Really interesting.
Intently.
Yeah.
Who's your pick of the week, Lisa May? Which team do you really like to come out and surprise us this Sunday?
Go with any
football team.
Go with Vikings. Vikings?
Yeah, say Vikings.
Jacksonville.
Okay, she's picking Viking.
The
okay,
Rams will win their first game. Say that. The Rams will win their first game. They will beat the Cardinals. The Cowboys will win by 3 touchdowns. Okay.
Go to DirecTV.com. Look under packages and programming and call 888-777-2454. Seriously, guys. Andrew Siciliano here today.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Great to see you, man.
Let's
Thanks.
Have him do sports for us. What do you say? He needs another job.
He's not busy enough.
I need one more.
We can afford him.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize. Today it's a 4-pack of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. That includes a private terror tram ride for K-Rock Winners Only, hosted by Psycho Mike. And that is that's tonight, right, Mike? You'll be there?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
I'll
it
be
is.
There
I'll
tonight.
Be there. I'm going to be lifting the whole tram full of people.
Wait.
I'll be dominating all the women. Who's with me?
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Efren on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Efren's on line 1, calling from L.A. Efren, good morning.
What it do,
nephew.
What a do.
What a do.
What a do. What a do. Yeah, the largest judgment ever yesterday handed down to a 30-year-old Minnesota woman, my friends. About downloading music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she got slapped hard.
Now, the reason this is the largest one is this is, as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Efren, this is the first one that's gone all the way to trial. Everybody else has settled out of court, right?
Yes.
And so she downloaded a tremendous amount of songs and got penalized for? Is that what happened?
Well, actually, they brought it down to 24 songs. Each song came up to $9,250.
Oh!
Ouch.
Isn't that something? I mean, that says punitive damages to me, because clearly putting one song in Kazaa does not cost a record company $9,000. I don't believe that.
No, they're just slapping her down.
No one asked you, my friend. They asked the jury of her peers, or the judge. I don't know how it worked.
I don't know. I mean, this looks like a legit verdict. It looks like it'll hold up. I mean, they are going to appeal, but I got to imagine this is going to be chilling news for a lot of people who think it can't happen to me. I mean, this is, as the caller said, I mean, this is just a 20-something single woman out there. This isn't like a guy running a business or something. This is just somebody doing what everybody does.
Yep. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ryan in Corona Del Mar. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, what it do, nephew? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Ryan.
How you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Good. So I'm driving to work this morning, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this moving type truck. So I take a double take and look over again, and it's Gaylord's Meat Company.
Gaylord's Meat Company.
That's correct.
He's a total Gaylord.
I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You must have wet your pants.
It certainly does seem like maybe a name change would be, if I were running it, maybe.
Absolutely.
Do they have any sneaky butchers working for them?
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Austin in East LA. Good morning, Austin. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, what a do, nephew? What a do, baby boo?
What a do, Austin?
Yeah, I have a problem. Every day when I'm watching TV, there is good TV on the Spanish channels, but I do not know Spanish.
Right.
How come we can't turn it in SEP just like in the English?
That's a good point. How come they don't have English subtitles for Spanish television?
Don't know.
Great idea.
Yes, it is.
Never dawned on me, but that's a great idea.
Never thought of that. I don't go there for the language. I go there for the women.
How do we change that? We write to what?
The problem is that the Mexicans are arrogant bastards. That's what it is. That's the problem. They think they're better than us. Coming here taking all our good jobs.
Thank you, Austin.
Yeah.
All right.
The good ones, huh?
All the good ones. Like,
Gardening
and working real hard, construction and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of us are in danger of losing our jobs to Mexicans coming over. That's for sure, Ralph.
We want.
Manny in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do,
baby boo?
Hello.
Last week I was in Vegas, and it was my first playing roulette. I put down my bet, and I won. I hit the number, and I won about $350.
Yeah, it's pretty magical, isn't it?
Yeah. And the manager came up to me and asked me for my ID, so I got up off the table. I walked over. I showed him my ID. He was kind of giving me, a little bit of grief about it. And then I walked back, but the ball had already respun, and I didn't take my bet off the table, and I lost it all.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding. So once that ball is rolling, you can't change your bet. It's still out there. You lose.
Exactly.
Oh.
I won $350, and I lost $360.
And it's so hard to win roulette, too, to pick the right number. I mean, you really lucked out. And
all that happened in 25 seconds.
Yep.
Pretty much. Yep.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
They burned you, man. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Now, Dave tells me we're out of prizes at this point, so we can talk to more people if we want, but we don't have anything good to give.
They get nothing. They get nothing.
We have Kevin and Bean t-shirts. We have that.
Okay. Let's get Andrea on from La Puente. She's on line 6. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Good morning, Andrea. What's going on with you?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I got a new question for next time you guys have Ask a Black.
I'm sorry, the feature is called Ask a Black. Go ahead.
Okay, Ask. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys were talking about that kid Ray J yesterday and how he had sex with, 1,100 girls.
Right.
Uh-huh. That his first sexual experience was at the age of 10.
Right.
And, I've talked to a lot of black people, and they have sex so early. I want to know why black people have sex so young.
I don't think it's just a black person thing. I think it's there's a lot of kids that have sex early.
Everyone,
but 10 years old. Me and my husband discuss this a lot, and we have noticed that black people have sex really young.
Well, it turns out the ghetto is really boring. They got nothing to do, really.
Ralph, well, most black people don't live in the ghetto. You know that, right?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It may have been a joke.
I mean, it could be. You could be onto something. There could be something culturally different. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I'd be interested to see statistics if it's really true that the average black teenager has sex earlier than the average white teenager or Hispanic teenager. I don't know the answer to that. It'd be good to ask on Axe of Black. We may take you up on that.
I have to do that again. Thank you. And let's go to Eddie, who's calling from Linwood. Good morning, Eddie.
Yeah.
Sure. Sorry to wake you up, dude.
Yeah, what's up?
Kind of hoping for the prize.
Yeah.
Okay, you hold on. Thanks for calling.
What?
I don't know.
That was weird.
Just hoping for the prize. I don't blame him. Who would call just to talk to us unless there was some sort of incentive? Some little That's carrot dangling at the end of the stick.
And if he's not ready to give us anything, I'm fine putting it back on hold. That works for me.
Well, you showed him.
Let me thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And what a program it was. How about Mick Kazarowski, the senior executive producer of The Meerkat Manor? New episode tonight at 8:30 on the Animal Planet. You showed tremendous restraint, Ralph, to not bust into the studio and scream at him for talking about his goddamn rodents on the TV.
Look, I know a lot of people are caught up in this meerkat thing, so I'm just going to let
it go. It's fascinating, but let's be realistic.
Let's keep it in check a little bit, a little perspective on the whole thing. There are rats in the desert. Okay, interesting, but let's not weep over Rosebud's death or whatever.
It's flower for flower.
Who cares?
The desert has lost its rose, Ralph. Come on. It's a very special episode tonight at 8:30 on the Animal Planet. It is their highest-rated show, too, by the way. How great was Luke Robitaille for stopping by
Always
today?
Always good.
Of course, he's in the front office now for the Los Angeles Kings, a team he played with three different times. Their opening night is against St. Louis. That's going to be tomorrow at Staples Center. Tickets are available at all Ticketmaster outlets. Thanks to Perry Farrell for joining us. He, along with his band, The Satellite Party, you can see them this weekend at the L.A. Detour Festival downtown in L.A. tomorrow at noon or the Glass House in Pomona on Sunday. Go to satelliteparty.com or all Ticketmaster outlets to get your tickets. Thanks to the Wonder Dog, Rex Hudler. He is in Boston today. Of course, the Anaheim Angels versus the Boston Red Sox. That game's at 5:30. On TBS if you want to watch Game 2 of that divisional playoff series. And thanks to Andrew Siciliano for dropping by the Red Zone Direct TV channel. Go to directtv.com, check under packages and programming. That, my friend, is a hell of a show.
Next week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Mark Wahlberg talking about We Own the Night.
Wow.
We have J.S. Jaguar from the Ducks. We have Tila Tequila talking about her new show on MTV, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. And we have Eva Mendez. Next week.
And Reggie the Wonder Dog.
And Reggie the Wonder Dog.
Yeah, I'm bringing my dog.
Orange?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Marijuana is so
this one seems to be allowed to quit. And I need another hit.
Captain Corbett is coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around? Here's some Foo Fighters, also The Killers. All Around Me is new from Flyleaf, Smashing Pumpkins, 311, and more.
Roll.
Exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
So let's both dart that joint. Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
God, that was bad, right?
It wasn't great.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
It started a little rough for me. It got better towards the end. I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down about it. It was just kind of all right for me, man. I don't know. You didn't really grab me with that.
All right, stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.